Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. Another live prophetic talk show. We are here tonight. Can you believe it? Really cool. All right. Hang on a second. I'm trying to get something on here. Everybody, good to be here tonight. Hopefully you're doing good tonight. If not, I'm going to be praying for you in a little bit. Blog Talk is saying, we know we're having problems, we're working on it. That's good. Let's get that thing fixed, man. Blog Talk is my favorite. There's a lot of different places you can go. Blog Talk is my favorite, y'all. I mean, it just is. Anyway, so we need to pray for them, for sure. So we've been praying for you in a little bit. So sorry we missed you last night and some of you the night before. We actually finally got on Monday, but they're having a problem. They have a little thing right here. It says, we are aware of issues connecting and running live broadcasts. Our engineers are hard at work, are hard working on this resolution. I'm sure they have a lot of bugs. I'm sure people don't like these guys because they have the best system, I think, of all. And you know, there's a bunch of methods. It's the best, it's the easiest, and I think it's the only one like it that I know of. I don't know anything like this one. And we've been up for many years, and even though we've had trouble with it, if when I try to change or anything else, it's just nothing works as easy. You know, so what if they have a little problem once in a while? We'll just have to veer off to Zoom, I guess, when we have to, right? Yeah, so I think we can do that. A few people showed up last night, not many. Zoom. I sent out text letting you know I was there. Sent you the link for the phone number. So if you weren't able to get to it, I understand. But we are with you tonight. Tonight is Wednesday night. Thank God they're on tonight because tonight's when we minister to every person. Pray over everybody. Prophesy over every person. You know, live in the spirit and let the gifts of the spirit begin to work. So if you like that, you're in the right place. All right. Believe it or not, tonight I want to talk about the brain just a little bit. I want to talk about that just some. So I would like you to really listen closely if you can and hear what I'm going to share with you. I think you'll, I'm planting seeds. I'm getting you prepared for the future of how we're going to work this thing. Okay. So number one, let's start with, you know, what's going on with people's brains right now. As a general whole, the word is, with no proof, of course, that we use 10% of our brain, 10% of our brain. We use 10%. The other 90%, which there's no proof of that, but something's definitely not right, right? Because it's just not working real good. And so we're working on that by the Holy Spirit and making some good progress. There's a lot to test and a lot to learn, so it just takes time. And plus, right now, if I gave everybody what I do, it would be way too much work, and most people just wouldn't do it, so it would be a waste of even telling you about it. Plus, you know, it's just not through experimentation, and if I tell people what I'm doing and they do it and they mess themselves up by doing it wrong, you know, I just can't take a risk on that. So that's what's happening. And so little by little, I just I want to share with you tonight some things about that because I think it's extremely important, especially as we enter to, you know, a deeper level of the end times. I think that there's going to be more anxiety and stress going on than ever, right? We all have anxiety and stress. I don't care who you are. You may handle it well. Some people handle it well. Some people don't. Jesus had great anxiety, you know, in the Garden of Eden. Hang on a second. Okay. Yeah, there we go. So Jesus had, you know, sweat as it were, great drops of blood, talking about his mental side, his soulish side, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember all that? Yeah. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, he, you know, sweat as it were, great drops of blood, because the mental side of him, the mind part of him, the brain part of him, the soul part of him, was, you know, having to yield to God. Your spirit man yields to God much easier than your soul does, especially in Jesus' position, because he was pure. He had not sinned. Therefore, his spirit man had not been defiled, and he was a whole different crew of person because of that. But he still had his mind to deal with. He had everyday life. He had memories. He was, you know, put in it. He went through childbirth. He went through, you know, being in the womb for 9 months. All the whole thing, you know, and just like any other kid. But, yeah, so anyway, he struggled just like all of us do. That was a big, beautiful part about Jesus, is that he struggled just like us. He had a brain, he had a mind, he had a soul, he had a will. He could choose to do whatever he wanted to do. But the cool thing is that even after some struggle sometimes, he would always yield to the Father. It didn't mean he didn't struggle. It doesn't mean he didn't battle. So when we go through all these struggles and battles, there's three parts of us. There's our spirit, our soul, and our body. Your soul has your mind, will, and emotions, as far as we know, that contains that. And your brain, I believe it's your brain. Your soul and your brain, I believe, are one. That's what I believe. I believe your heart and your spirit are one. I think you're, yeah, so that's what I believe. But so when you're going through mental stress, you have a lot of pressure on you because you know you need to be getting something done and you can't get it done, and you're going to be late or whatever. You're not going to be able to pay your bills. You're not going to be able to do something. And so it really messes with you, and especially if you have stress on you on a regular basis. If your financials are not in order, as we've talked about last week, you know, I mean, there's been many times I've had my finances out of order as a Christian, giving a lot of money away, you know, trying to be generous. And God, you know, he blessed some of it. Most of it he didn't, because it wasn't of him. Then he taught me how to, you know, give by being led by the Spirit of God. And I still don't do that perfect, I'm sure, but, you know, I began to learn how to perfect it and use godly common sense on things that I didn't use godly common sense on before, mainly thinking like the Word of God does, that kind of sense. So I had financial stress, and then I had the stress of relationships, and then I had the stress of children, and then I had the stress of, you know, the ministry, and, you know, I mean, you just go through stress. You have stress. And your mind, your brain, your soul, your physical brain is where we're going tonight. I want to focus on that, is that when your brain is not functioning like it's supposed to, 100-fold, which, you know, if the 10% thing is even close to correct, we're not using most of our brain. Or I should say, most of our brain is not functioning at a level where it can function, you know, completely, fully. Right, it's getting, this way I like to describe it, it's getting blood, but just barely enough to feed it to keep it alive. In other words, if your brain started dying, you start stinking, you start having a brain stink. Your brain would start smelling because it'd be dead. But it's not dead, it's just asleep because it's not getting fed properly. You know, and I'm so when that's kind of a nutshell version. And so I began to ask the Lord about that. And through different situations that I went through, I saw a movie that provoked me to, you know, look at it, and then in taking communion, and then reading scripture about this. My favorite one is Matthew 13, where it talks about the parable of the man who sowed the seed, you know, in different grounds and produced 30, 60, 100-fold understanding. So I got a hold of it for the first time. I'm going, like, along with that movie I saw, and I went, yeah, there's something to that. You know, the movie's not right, but the fact that they showed a guy that with his brain working 100% could do things that he was gifted to do, but he couldn't do them because his brain was asleep, most of it. He couldn't function. He couldn't do what he knew he had the ability to do. He just felt like he had the ability to do things, but he just couldn't quite get it done. I want to write a book. He was writing a book. And I think he knew he had the gift of doing that, the ability to do it, but he couldn't get it done because his brain was just asleep. So he got this pill, a clear pill. It wasn't a drug. It was a pill that they made just for that. And when you took one, you know, your brain kicked in to 100-fold. You're using 100% of your brain. And he could just... He wrote that book in a few hours, you know, it was a short time. And, the people he would be accountable to for all that were amazed. They're going like, how did you do that? You haven't done anything in months. And all of a sudden you got the whole thing written and it's amazing. You know, so it was pretty interesting and made me think about it. So little by little, as God began to challenge me in that area and then I started getting words of knowledge, the gift of the Spirit, word of knowledge, I'd wake up in the middle of the night with a word, you know, a word that I didn't know what it was. I'd look it up and, you know, it would be about the brain. So I began to take the hint, you might say, that he was trying to teach me something about the brain. All right, so there you go. So here's what we're doing. Here's what's going on with the brain. When the brain is not working, which nobody's is that I know of, is working 100%, right? Mine's working better than it was. If I had 10, I might have 15 or 20 now, maybe. It's in some areas, not every area, but some areas. But if indeed I have that, it's because I have been, God's been showing me ways with eating certain kinds of foods that open up your blood vessels, hot things, among other things, just different things that feed your body, that feed your brain, and made a drink out of that and kind of experimented with a lot of it. And it's been pretty cool so far. And plus, I have some other things I do that I can't say because it's part of the inventive part of it, and it's private at this time. And so mixing those things together, what happened was my brain began to function, and I started realizing that my brain knew how to work out things that I had not ever done before. Now, I know it sounds strange. My brain started telling me what to do. I know it's going to sound crazy to you, but God made our brain, friend, to be amazing. And when our brains are not working, you know, at levels that I'm talking about, higher levels, then, okay, here's anxiety right here. Anxiety is you're using 10% of your brain, maybe 5% of your brain if you're really having problems. And so you're having to figure out life with half your brain, half of your 10%, maybe even if it's just 10%, figure out life and the struggles of life, the mysteries of life, with a brain that is being used maybe 10%. So what happens? Stress. You're having to work your brain really, really hard, really, really hard to come up with a little bit of answers. Really, really hard work on your brain. Your brain's working hard. So when you work your brain hard, what happens? Just like anything, it gets hot. and it kind of goes, slow down. You wear it out. Or you think you're wearing it out. It actually does wear you out. But your brain is not able to work at 100%, so it's working at 10%. So you're trying to figure out things of life, and you're having to really work hard in your brain to get that 10% to find something that can help you through and give you ideas and situations, give you wisdom and how to think and how to think straight and how to figure out things without the other 90% of your brain. And you're working at 10% so hard, pretty soon you just wear your brain, that 10% of your brain, completely out, where when you're time you're 80, you haven't got hardly any of it left because you've wore it out, because that's all you've been using. And that's about what happens. People get 80 years old. Remember Moses? Moses, he was, you know, 100 and whatever, I can't remember how old he was exactly, but he was on up there in age. He was old, and he was still very sharp. It's like you see some people. Some people are still very sharp at that age. But for the most part, what happens is the little bit of our brain that we have and use, we need the other 90% to work so that it won't be having to work that little bitty bit so much all the time, every day, hard, and you just wear. And that's why people have so much stress, so much anxiety. Where we have people with having anxiety attacks. Why are they having anxiety attacks? Because they're having to use 10% of the brain to figure out something that they need 100% of the brain to figure out, and therefore they're wearing that 10% out, and it's called, you know, all kinds of diseases and things that happen with the brain. You see what I'm saying? It's like, you know, using one leg to, you know, to do everything in your whole life instead of both legs. The both legs balance you. Both legs, you know, have muscles in both that balance you out. But if you just had one leg and you're having to do everything, you know, so you're off balance, you're going to wear that thing out, man. You're going to wear it out. It's like people have too much weight on their body. They wear their body out. They need hip replacements, knee replacements. You know, not everybody that has, but most of the time people who have a lot of weight wear out their joints. So it's the same kind of scenario, same kind of situation we're talking about here, where you're using 10% of your brain, maybe 5%, to figure out these issues that you need at least 50% of your brain, if not the whole 100%, and you don't have it, so you're burning it up fast. So you die early. You end up with all kinds of, you know, some people end up with all kinds of mental issues. All kinds of things are going on. So what I'm doing, what God is having me do, is to open up the brain forcibly, in a sense. I say forcibly, I don't know if forcibly is the right word, but in a sense of forcing it, feeding it brain, this drink I drink, and what it has in it is part of it is that it opens up the blood vessels, right? And so, and then I do some other things with my brain that I work on that helps to open up the blood vessels in places that it hasn't been opened for. So it can get more food, and the more food you get it, the more it goes from the blood vessels. It keeps 1% of blood in it. Now it's getting 20% blood in it. Pretty soon it's going to get 40%, and then pretty soon it's going to be flowing 100% blood, which means 100% food to that part of your brain that hasn't been getting it. Other parts of your brain you've had for a long time been using 10%. You're getting, you know, from 50 to 80% blood flow into that part of your brain. That's why it's functioning at 10%. But the other 90% is just getting like 1%, 2% of enough blood to flow there to keep it from dying, keep it from being dead, or it literally dies. So it's just kind of just like when you don't eat, you get sleepy and you just go to sleep. You can't, like, hello? You can't think straight. You know what it's like when you first wake up? If you're a heavy sleeper, you wake up and you're like, somebody's trying to get you to make a decision. You're going, like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. What's your name? Oh, yeah, honey. Yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry. Let me wake up first. You know, trying to get you to make decisions when you're half asleep. You can't do that, right? Because your brain has been resting and your blood has not been flowing, you know, like it does when you're up and active and doing things. So what happens is you end up with stress, anxiety, people commit suicide. There's all kinds of things that go on. So what we're doing is we are getting that part, those parts of the brain to little by little. Right now, I'm not even sure where I'm at on it. I want to get a scan of my brain. I haven't done it yet. It takes money to do that. And I want to have, you know, them regularly to see the levels, how quickly it's, you know, expanding. And I haven't done any of that yet. I've not done one of those yet. So what I'm doing is we are opening up our getting our blood vessels in our brain, in a sense, forcing it, if you will, in a gentle way, so that those parts of our brain that are getting 50 to 80%, now the parts of our brain that are doing good, the parts of our brain that are getting like 1% blood, 1% food, enough to stay alive, but can't quite wake up and work, to start getting, you know, from 1%, 2% flow to, you know, 20%, 30%, you know, whatever. Working on your full brain, getting 100% blood flow flowing through it, so that the brain, and here's what I'm going to go through right here. I want you to listen really closely. We use this saying, I use this saying a lot. Some of you have caught on to it and you use it a lot. work less and get more done, right? Work. God started teaching me the curse is that we work hard and get little done. The blessing is we work little and get a lot done, right? A little bit of work. So it's the same thing with the brain. And this is really the answer to even that little thing that we've been talking about there, that that little nugget of wisdom God gave me a few years ago, that when you get your brain working, you know, 100%, let's say as a full example, then it takes very little thinking to get a big amount done, a large amount done, right? When before you're using 10%, you're having to work really, really hard, really, really hard, and barely getting anything done. But when your brain is working fully, let's say 100% of your brain's working, it takes one little bitty, you know, thing you're trying to deal with a little bit of effort, just very little effort, to figure out the problem and work it out, where you don't have, you don't get loaded down with stress and anxiety. You're going to have stress and anxiety no matter who you are. Jesus had it, but he knew how to handle it. Why? Because his brain worked 100%. He had not been affected by sin, right? He had full access to all of his brain, and 100% the blood flow going to all parts of his brain, where he could think and figure things out easily. So that's why he was so smart, because he, you know, we know the Holy Spirit for sure. There's no question about that. Well, I'm going to bring that into it in just a moment. So number one, just his brain alone was unaffected by sin. It didn't have the curse on it. It was working 100%, right? So then he was able to take situations that they would come up and they would ask him these big questions, these big lawyers that were smart and knew the law. They would come up to him, we're going to get him with this one, because they could always nail everybody with certain questions. We're going to nail him with this one. Bring some question up to him in front of everybody and expecting him just to fall apart and not know what to say. And he was just like, easily, it was like a big question, little effort, big answer. Big question, little effort, little brain power, big answer. And yes, of course, the Holy Spirit was involved in it. And that's what's so cool about it, is it takes the Holy Spirit, you know, it takes very little bit of information from the Holy Spirit to get a lot done when your brain is working 100%. That's why it says you get 30, 60, and 100-fold understanding. Are you all with me on this? Anybody even listening? I think you are. I want you to listen really close, because I'm trying to get you to the place where you know what I'm doing, what God has me doing, that eventually we're going to be able to spread it and spread the news, and, you know, and so it's going to be awesome, right? We're going to be the smartest people in the world, because we're going to take little effort. People spend hours trying to break down things and get them to, you know, figure out the problem with these corporations and businesses and the world, the situations in the globe. You know, it's just like, oh, my God, it's just so heavy. We can't think of what to do. But that's because your brain's not working very well. And then plus, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you got the Holy Spirit can breathe on your 10%, the measure of your brain you're using it at 10% level. The Holy Spirit can breathe on that, but he has to breathe a lot on it. Like, and then you get a little bit out of that. But when your brain is working 100%, he breathes on you a bit of information, and it's like, man, you're breaking it down into this, like, that little bit of bread goes, it turns in, and it feeds thousands, right? Because you took a little bit of bread, a little bit of information from the Holy Spirit, and your brain, because it's working properly with the help of the Holy Spirit, you know, your brain, which God made to, you know, work things through, you know, easily, my yoke is easy. The scripture I have for you tonight is, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, L-I-G-H-T. I'm going to talk about that more maybe later, but so I'm going to go there. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the scripture I want to go to. And hang on a second here. Okay. All right. Matthew 11:30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah, so we're going to go there in a little bit on that, but I love the New Living Translation. It says, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So we're going to break it down eventually. I'm going to take time here with this, but my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So when the Holy Spirit's trying to get us to do big things, heavy things, big burdens, our little brain, you know, just can't hardly process it. So it takes, you know, 100 people to process something, and hopefully you can get that done if you get enough unity going on. But if you have one person, one individual, who is, their brain is working 100%, and the Holy Spirit gives them this big burden, this heavy burden, it's not really heavy. It's like, to somebody else, it's like heavy, but to them, who their brain is working right, the way God designed the brain to work 100%, then you just take it and just like process it like a processor. It just processes it because God made the brain like a processor. That's why the computer, that's how they come up with the computer and AI. They're using technology that God has in the brain. It's that the brain is much better than AI. That's why I'm saying the reason we're going to be greater than AI, you know, the AI, the level of intelligence, is because they're going to get the brain thing going 100%. But the thing is, we're going to have a real brain with the Holy Spirit working, and we're going to make AI look like a bunch of dummies. I'm telling you, I'm not bluffing. I'm not playing. I'm not just saying this to be cool. I'm telling you, I literally mean exactly what I said. If Jesus Christ was walking in the earth, he would make AI and AI's, what would you say, their ability to, you know, do amazing things. Jesus would just make them look like they were nothing. I'm telling you, you believe that? I hope you believe that. I hope you believe it, because, friend, we're created in his image and his likeness, and God is saying, but the problem is here is that we have gone there. We don't really need our brain. We just got the Holy Ghost, man. Yeah, this just, I feel the Holy Ghost. You feel the Holy Ghost? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I'm discerning. Uh-huh, I'm feeling it. Sorry. So, you know, it's like God wants to use, just like with Jesus. Do you think Jesus used a little teeny weeny part of his brain because he had the Holy Ghost, he didn't need his brain? No, his brain was able to access and work faith through, because when your brain is working right, your soul, you receive this meekness and grafted word, you know, to save your soul. When your soul is working great, faith comes by hearing. And when you hear it with a sound mind, a sound mind is a mind that's not using 10%, but a sound mind is a mind, a brain that is being used 100%. And so when you do that, you're able to process big information through easily. When somebody else using 10% of the brain, it's just barely, like they can barely, you know, a year later, they go, oh, we got the answer now. You know, you had it in 15 minutes. It's like the guy in the movie, you know, he'd been trying to write a book for, I don't know, months maybe. Yeah, you know, they were so frustrated with him. He's never getting anything done. You know, we're going to have to get rid of him. You know, it's like, hey, pill, and the pill caused him to use 100% of his brain. And he had that book written, and it was an amazing book. He had it written in just a few hours, I think. I remember exactly. It was like quickly. Yeah, and then they were amazed. The lady who was working with him said, you know, this is amazing. You did this? How did you do this? You've been writing nothing. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is how that God used that movie to connect me to Jesus. But she didn't need a pill to do it. You know, he had the Holy Spirit. But he had a full developed, had full access to all of his brain, because God made the brain, friend, to process information. Your brain has amazing potential that we don't even have a clue about. Every once in a while, you will see genius people, I think, generally speaking, are people who tapped into a certain part of their brain, was able to figure out at a high level of that certain, like mathematics. They didn't just tap into 10% of that mathematical part of their brain. They tap into 100% of it, or 50% of it, maybe 30%. We're used to 10, so 30% is like genius, right? Just think if you had 100% access, you'd make the geniuses who you know, they can't do anything else. They're going, hey, man, mom, I'm 45 today. You think I'll ever move out of the house? You know, I can do genius work in mathematics, and people are amazed at some of that. But my other parts of my life is like, can't do anything, right? Just think if you had, that just shows you that geniuses are people who, for somehow, some way, the genetic code that we have, the genes that we receive, somehow they were able to access a part of the genetic code that hadn't been defiled. Now, all the rest of it's defiled. They can't hardly walk and talk, but when it comes to playing the piano, they can sit down and go from being retarded looking to, you know, like, and play maestro music. I mean, you know, like, amazing. So that just shows you that that ability is in our brain, and the genetic code and all that has a lot to do with it. I'll get into that later. But literally, God started showing me the physical part of the brain, how that he made it. He said, Randy, you think that that people who have depression and anxiety all the time, who can't process, anxiety is the inability to process information correctly, process pain and devastating things that happen to you. Like Jesus had devastating things happen to him, right? He had devastating things happen. People betrayed him. They lied about him. They denied. He was always being questioned and harassed, and the devil's always after him. You know, the reason he didn't get down about all that is because he, number one, he prayed, and the Holy Spirit, but he processed, he had a brain that was able, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to process through things that, you know, pain and heartache, and he would always come up with these amazing sayings, you know, like turn the other cheek, and he would talk about things. You know, why did he think like that? Because he was so holy? No, because his brain was working, and the Holy Spirit was able to work with his brain. Your original brain was made to think like Jesus thinks and teach and understand life like Jesus understood life. He wasn't like that just because he had the Holy Ghost. Of course, that's a major part. It's a major role, but it's not the only thing. And people think, you say, oh, if you got the Holy Ghost, man, you can do anything. Yeah, you can, but it's, like, really difficult. Yeah, after 10 years, I'm wore out, man. I can't hardly flow with people naturally. This is wearing me out. But if your brain was working 100%, you'd be, like, ready to go another 100 years. Are y'all with me on this? Anybody hearing anything? Are y'all out there? Can you hear me? Are y'all sleeping? Wake up, old sleeping giant.
So I know you're listening out there. You got to be.
All right. So my scripture, I've had several of them already quoted the scripture, Matthew 13, and about 3,600 from understanding. Right, y'all got that one already. I want to read that one to you just so my scripture friends can. Thank you. I got an amen. Praise God. All right, let's go here. What am I doing here? Here we go. All right, I want to take you a couple of scriptures just so we can make sure we get some scriptures tonight. I don't have my internet on. There we go. All right. All right. I want to go to Matthew 13 just for a second here, just so we can qualify what I'm saying. Some of you heard me talk about this before, but I want to go to Matthew 13 tonight. I'm going to go here tonight, and I'm going to hit other scripture that I gave you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Later. Okay. Thank you for being with us tonight. Find it. Okay. He answered, he said, and the disciples in verse 10 of Matthew 13, I can just kind of start here, the purpose of the parables. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has to him will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So he talks about hearing and understanding, seeing and not being able to, having eyes to, their eyes are closed, so they cannot see, you know. Anyway, it goes on down here.
the sower, the parable is about the sower, and I didn't prepare for the scripture here. Okay. Make sure and read Matthew 13. He received the seed on the ground, the good ground, is he who hears the word, verse 23, and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. What's he talking about here? The whole thing about the seed is about being able to understand things. And he's talking about 100-fold understanding. This is Jesus Christ talking about this. Many of you heard me talk about this before, but for those who are new tonight, go read Matthew 13. You can read the parable of the sower. Kind of explains it to you. Verse 18 goes on and explains it. And then he says, he ends it up with the 30, 1600 fold understanding. You notice it doesn't say, this isn't about money, although when your brain is working right, you're going to be able to make money because you're going to understand how the kingdom of heaven works. That's what the parables are for, is they show, explain how the kingdom of heaven works, right? That's what they're for. But he received the seed on the good ground, right? Got the word good ground. In other words, the good ground is like your brain has been renewed, or your brain is working fully, or 30-fold, or 60-fold, or 100-fold. So if your brain is working, you have good ground, and when the Holy Spirit gives you a word, you don't just kind of barely get something out of it and just talk about it for 6 months. No, you get so much stuff that you have a treasure chest of stuff. You don't have time to talk about all it because you got so much stuff from one little word. Because the Holy Spirit and your brain break it down so that it can be understood. And so he who has the good ground or a good brain or a brain that's working right, when he hears the word of God, he's able to expound on it, break it down into practical use in a way that, I mean, it's just like amazing. When Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, broke it. He didn't have enough, right? It's very little. And he took that little bit and he made it enough to feed a massive crowd, right? So it's the same thing with this. We take a little bit of information from the Holy Spirit. Our brain works it a little bit with the Holy Spirit. And we have massive amounts of bread left over from one little bitty word from God. From 5 loaves and 2 fish, we got enough food to feed, you know, information from heaven. This is what happens to me. I mean, I get so much stuff, I just try to figure out what I need to share that people can understand so we can take them to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. Because God gives me information to the point where some people are not ready for some of this stuff. You know, so we just like I'm talking about the brain tonight. Why am I doing this instead of going right to the source? Because I'm wanting to prepare people. But you can even know the possibility that we can do this, y'all. This is for everybody. Everybody's got a brain. Doesn't matter how good you did in school. It doesn't matter. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your brain, and you get that physical brain working right by eating right and doing the things and activating this thing, you're going to find yourself with the problems that used to really weigh you down. I mean, you're going to be able to take on situations. You're going to be the boss of everything and of everybody. That's a good way to say it, right? Why? Because you take information, problems, and you solve them easily. It's like, oh, boss, we got this really big problem, man. Everything's falling apart over there in the, you know what, department. Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, my God, nobody knows what to do. He said, so he goes, walks down there, you know, looks at it, he said, what's the problem here? Let me say it here. And he goes back and he's just, the light goes on. Now, I want you to remember the word, the light goes on. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The light goes on and he goes, oh, yeah, it's this right over here. Oh, it's that little bitty thing? I mean, I thought it was some big thing. It's just that little bitty thing, boss? Yeah, when you understand stuff, son, when you get on, like, when you get your brain working, you have the Holy Ghost working with it, you know, you're going to be able to see that it doesn't matter how your big problem, it can be a little bitty nothing that seems like nothing, but when you see the problem. So he just says, so what happened? The guy told him all that's going wrong and just cried, you know, it's so big, boss, we think we're going to have to just shut the company down because it's going to all go to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it's like, he said, well, what's the problem? Where's that? Where's it coming from? What's happening? What's the result? And he looks at it, and he goes, and the light comes on. My yoke is easy. My yoke, we're going to talk about this in the near future. My yoke is easy, and my burden, it's like, a light just comes on. He goes, oh, yeah, I got the answer. Just like Jesus, when they ask him all these big questions, what happened? A light came on. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know, yoke is easy. You know, like my, like we talk about the blessing God showed me. He said, I want you to work less and make more. Work less what? Work and make more what? It could be anything. Make more money. Make more information. Whatever it is, to work less. So when God began to deal with me about the brain and the fuller use of the brain, that what happens is that it causes your brain to take big situations and just like lickety-split, no problem. The light comes on because the Holy Spirit and your brain that's fully developing, it's not heavy. It's easy. Oh, that's easy. And you solving these problems is like Nebuchadnezzar. Like our brother. Hang on just a second. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. So, you know, when David gave birth to Solomon, David was a pretty good thinker himself. But when Solomon came along, you know, for some reason, somehow, some way, you know, his brain was working more fully than most people's, and plus he had the blessing of his father David on him. So when you got the blessing of the Holy Spirit on your life, and then your brain, just like we found out, we all know this about geniuses, they may not be able to walk across the street, but they can tell you the mathematical equation to a tree or to a house, you know, whatever it is, a bug. You know, how to fix the biggest problems, but it comes to, like, how to cook a hamburger, they can't even do it. So what does that show you? That shows you that they are using 100% of 1% of their brain. You see what I'm saying? They got 1%, but that 1%, they're using 100% of that 1%. Probably not even 100%, it's 50%. They're using 50%. And they're just like, I mean, some of these people, I've seen them. They can't do anything. They can barely sit down at the piano. They have to have help getting up there and sit down because they look like they're just like deformed. And they sit down and they start playing the piano, and it's like Liberace. I mean, it's like amazing. But you go try to. They can't even go to the bathroom themselves. So what happens is it shows you it's a definite revelation, an obvious understanding that when you tap into 100% of 1% of your brain. And these people don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have nothing. It has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. It has to do with the way God made our brains, friend. So just think if we had 100% of our brain working with the Holy Spirit, this is what happened to Solomon. Solomon was a genius at many levels, and he could walk across the street. He was probably a handsome man. He probably, you know, he had... You know, he shared stuff and all that. He was a smart guy. He could function. You see what I'm saying? So when you and I get a hold of this stuff and we start understanding that this is not just the Holy Ghost came on him and gave him with, it's just because he somehow, some way, genetically, he was able to have access to his brain. And God knew that. He knew it wasn't just the Holy Spirit on him. He knew that it was his brain and the Holy Spirit. David had the Holy Spirit. He wasn't as smart like that. David had a lot of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have a brain like that. He tapped into, you know, prophetic music skills. He tapped in poetic to the poetic thing and other things, you know, in a genius level. We're still reading about it and looking at it today. So what does that mean? It's just the Holy Spirit? No. Of course it's the Holy Spirit. It's not just the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit and person like Solomon, who is a genius at several levels, because his brain, he somehow God worked it, you know, in spite of David and his wife and, you know, all the whole thing, that adulterous thing. Well, he turned around and blessed him in a way that Solomon was a genius, because not because it was not just because Holy Spirit. We got to get over this thing. Oh, it was just God. It was just God. Yeah, it was God, but God somehow formed and shaped the sperm and the egg and thing just right, to where the thing that came out of there was a guy they named Solomon, who just happened to have the genetic code where his brain happened to be functioning at high levels. And then God got on him, and that's why God said he's going to be the wisest man in the earth, so to speak. And Jesus came along, and of course Jesus' brain was 100% developed. That's why he was a genius at everything. And the biggest genius thing he did that he figured out was, I only do what I see my father do. That was the biggest genius thing that you and I can do, friend, is do nothing except what the father does. But when you have full access to all of our brain and God, we will be just like Jesus in that sense. Just like Solomon and greater than Solomon. Like Jesus said, there's one greater than Solomon here. So we need to get understanding on this so that we can pray correctly and understand correctly why, like the whole genius realm. What's going on with the genius? When a genius comes out of the womb, he can do things that nobody else can do, but yet he can't do anything else hardly. He has to be raised by his mama all his life, his daddy, and changes, you know. So, but still, when it comes to that one thing, he's tapped into 100%, or let's say 50% of his brain, where most people get, you know, 10% maybe at the most. So y'all with me on that tonight? You hear that a little bit? So I'm trying to make a nutshell version of something I could go on and on about with this, but I'm just trying to help wet your whistle on where we're going to be going and how important it is just to not go, oh, I hope I make it through the Great Tribulation, because it's going to really be stress like never before. The stress is going to be amazing, and that's why I'm talking about this tonight, because we're going to see things going that have never happened in the world before, stress levels that have never gone on, and people are going to be falling apart. You know why? Because they got a 10% brain, and if they're using even 100% of their, even if they're using the full 10% of their brain, they're not going to be able to handle this stuff. We need full access to our brains, full access to the Holy Spirit, to where going through the Great Tribulation, yeah, is it going to be, we're going to have anxiety and stress sometimes? Yeah, but we're going to process through, because our brain is able to process. We got the Holy Spirit to process it supernaturally. Therefore, we're going to be like walking through it like, hey, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The tribulation, we're in a big old fight, but I ain't got nothing going on. Oh, nothing really bad. Sometimes I get a little sad for the people, but I got 100% access. Thank you, Mr. Jesus. Thank you, Mr. Chandler, for preaching this message. And thank you, oh God, for the brain you're giving us. Because, friend, the purpose of it is that when great stress comes upon you, like it did with Jesus, got to think about what Jesus went through. The stress he went through was mind-boggling. You and I can't even imagine 1/16th of 1/1,000,000th of percent of that pressure would have smashed us like a bug. You know why it didn't heal? Because his brain. No, the Holy Ghost is on him, Brother Reddy. He was the Son of God. He was the Holy Ghost. Come on. Read the whole scripture, everybody. Come on, please. And I must you believe me. And that's what you understand. We have people out there like me, like a little bit on the hyper-spiritual side, like, hey, it's all the Holy Ghost. Now, God gave you a brain, man. And that brain, when it's sanctified and set apart to the Holy Spirit, can process information so fast, it's gonna shock you. See, and I talked about this last week, about when I was going through the thing about the financial thing, about the making the decision on the gold and silver, and the pressure I was under with that. It was the pressure I've never had before. And I even talked to y'all. I told you maybe the last week or so that if it hadn't been for my brain thing that I'm going through, and my brain being able to process things through, I'm not sure I would have made it. I'm being serious. It was that difficult. Because we're not just talking about making a decision. Once you, after you do it and you figure out, oh, it's easy to look back and go, well, why didn't I think about that? But when you're right in the middle of it and you don't know what to do, it's stressful. So if it had been for God, you know, helping me stay on top of the brain thing and my drink and stuff that I'm doing, then I don't know, y'all, I don't know. I don't know if I would have made it or not. Really, I mean, I'm telling you. I was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, not physically, but it felt like it. So that's why I'm even bringing this up. That's why I'm trying to share with you that you need to understand that you got to get out of this thing of this hyper-spiritual thing. It's just the Holy Ghost. It ain't just the Holy Ghost, brother and sister. It's the Holy Ghost on me. And who is me? My spirit, soul, my body. My body's a temple. My brain is a place that, that when it's working 100%, can 100-fold, like Jesus said, 3,600-fold, can process information and understand things where I don't get freaked out every time. You know why great fear is going to be in the earth? Because people can't think of past the end of their nose because their brain's gone to sleep. They don't exercise. Just the natural things that people do get the brain going. They're not even doing that. So they're not even using 5% of the brain. No wonder they're falling apart. Yeah, I would too. Can't handle pressure. Every time somebody says something, you're freaking out. You're in panic mode. You're, you know, fear's all over you. Oh, God, you know, what's going to happen? Oh, God. Right? I understand that one for sure. That's why we're talking about this tonight. Y'all, I want to breathe into your nostrils tonight, by the grace of God, some hope and some understanding. When you start understanding this, then you're going, I don't know, it's going to help you know, well, what can I say? You're going to be able to come up with understanding why you need to use 100% of what brain you got going on, even if it's just 10%, and you never make it past 10%. At least you'll be able to use 100% of your 10% instead of, you know, small percentages of it. Not able to handle pressure, but you can't think your way through anything. You got somebody got to hold your hand and guide you through everything. Oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. You know, I'm just saying that because, you know, because our brains can't figure out stuff. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to think for people. Yeah, he's going to think for people. And he's going to be smart. Of course, he's going to have the devil himself on him. But all right, y'all, we are trying to move on here. So let's take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. I hope you're able to hear a little bit of that message and get some of it at least so you can start at least getting your brain thinking about it. This is how it all opened up for me, was the stuff I'm talking to y'all about started coming to me. I saw that movie, some other things, the Word of God. Y'all heard me talk about it here on the show several years ago. 36 minutes for understanding. It all began to hit me. It came together pretty soon. Guys, when are you going to put that thing together? Start doing it. I already gave you the information. Go. I finally went, okay, I did. Right in the middle of a disaster in my life. Family stuff going on. Yeah, that's when I did it under tremendous pressure. The pressure was so amazing, plus everything else going on. Ministry stuff, the transaction of the gold and silver thing happening. When's that going to happen? I don't even know what to do. What am I going to do? I had so much stuff going on. I'm going, God, you know, if you don't do something, I'm not going to make it. You know, I'm going to live through it, but I'm not going to be obedient. With anxiety and stress, when you get under it, instead of getting the answers, you come under it, and therefore you just kind of like don't do the right thing. And that's what I felt like that's what I was fearing was going to happen. Come to find out, we made the best deal we could have. You know, the timing was amazing, and I had nothing to do about any of it. Just stumbled along, and it just happened to be the perfect, I mean, I'm talking perfect timing on when to buy gold and silver. And, you know, in this season. Yeah. We bought it at the perfect. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And I didn't do that. Yeah, I didn't get a word. Do it now, Randy. Do it now. I just, you know, I didn't have a word about it. I'm just trying to get it done. And it wasn't happening. And then all of a sudden, one day it did. Timing was immaculately perfect. All right, y'all. And that's not the brain thing is what kept me from falling apart. Because I was close to it, falling apart, meaning I'm not going to be able to do this successfully because I can't think my way. I don't know what to do, you know, God, if you don't show me.
and the pressure was trying to squeeze out any information from God. That's what pressure does. Anxiety and stress tries to press you from, you know, make you lose your hope. And, yeah, so God is good, man. Let's take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. If anybody's still awake and alive tonight, we're going to be ministering to you. Thank you for being with us. Thanks. Thank God for PGN, for Blog Talk Radio being on tonight, Monday and Tuesday. We finally got on Monday. Tuesday, we shifted over to Zoom. I text everybody. If you didn't get that text, I did text you. If you're not on our text alerts, then let me know. And but I did alert everybody last night on my text and let them know that where we were at on Zoom. And a couple of people showed up, three or four or five, something like that. Kind of came and went. So it was good, though. Had a good time. If you want that recording, it was an amazing time. I had a lot of fun. Answered a lot of questions, and it's really cool. So, all right, and Monday's show, you want to get that one. You know, very soon until you go back and listen to things. Go back and listen to Monday's show. Even though we went late, it was just share some things I've never shared before. In my opinion, is awesome. God is gracious, very gracious. All right, let's take callers tonight. Hang on a second. My first caller tonight is 769-220. Second caller is 2202. Sorry about that. 863 after that. 863-605. Then 325-280. 910-379-915-248. After that, 214-646. After that, 915-929-803-991. After that, 612-991. After that, 480-795-903-808. 251-229 after that. And then a few of you don't have your hand up. All right, so good to be with you tonight. Let's take callers tonight. Who am I talking to and where are you from, please?
Hi, it's Kristen and Drica in Georgia.
Hey, y'all. All right, good to have you tonight. Andrika is one of those that when she sends her offering, she sends that little thing in there that I talked about tonight. Work less and make more, you know. And I'm telling you all that, you know, God gave it to me personally, and to even talk about it was difficult because it sounded like I was being lazy, and I've never been a lazy person as far as I can remember. And my mom, thanks to my mom and dad, who made sure I wasn't. Thank you, mommy and daddy, and they're gone to heaven. I love you. Less and make more, you know. So it's about working smarter, too, but smarter with the Holy Spirit, of course. And so this fits in with the brain, working the brain less and getting more done. In other words, being able to figure out things that are really, really heavy duty normally with our brain functioning, it just processes it through like it's like nothing hardly. Like my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The light comes on, right? So every time something big comes along and the light comes on, in other words, you get the idea, you understand, you know what to do. Man, I'm telling you, when the light finally came on with me about the situation with the gold and silver and all that, I know it. If you've never been in that particular position, like I was in, it's hard to understand the pressure that was there, but a timing thing. I didn't know what to do exactly per se. Specifically, you think God would just speak to you, and yet He was, but it was like still even then actually making a physical transaction. And the details, it's just, and most of you in business, you know what I'm talking about. We always make it look easy when we've been doing it a long time, but really sometimes people try to jump in there and do it in our shoes. They just like going, oh, my God, you know, how'd you do that? Exactly. And so same thing with you, Andrika. It's like, you know, a lot of things that you do, you know, you just, you know, you have the heart and the mind for that God's going to really open you up to, you know, being able to process things through, of course, always with the Holy Spirit, but with a brain, with a mind, with that physical brain that is opened up. In fact, you know, most people don't know this, but when I start talking about this brain thing and that there's ways you can quickly, there's some little things you can do to
access more of your brain, like we're going to take a test or something. And Enrique texted me. She said, I think I heard you say something about that. My son's taking a test. What can we do to do it? I said, well, I can't give all that information yet, but I can tell you some basic principles. You know, that's the hard part about this right now. I can't, you know, share everything about it because it's an experiment. In experiments, you break it all down to what really works, what really doesn't. And so I shared some of those things with her, the basic process. So you have a mind for this. You know, I've never forgot that. Not very many people have asked me for that specific information. But you were asking for, I think, Tariq, I can't remember. And so, you know, I, you know, you have an awareness about that. You know, you listen. And everybody listens, and some people have a tendency toward certain things more than other people do. When they have a tendency to listen toward things that you may not, but so it all fits together. But you have a real tendency to hear certain things, and so God's giving you that ability to hear and to go after it. Like I hear that and go after. So there's a quickening inside of you that hears something, and then you you don't sit around, you go after it. Go after it. Like God is saying, this is the way I made you. I made you to hear something, and when you hear it, then you go after it. You hear it, you go after it, and that's what you did. And so I was surprised. I went, wow, you know. And I didn't read the text very well at first, so I didn't really understand. Because most of the time when I read text, I just kind of skim right through them, you know, trying to get the basic information. And I didn't really understand exactly what you were saying, that test was like the next day or something. So I got to you back a little bit late. I got back to you a little bit late, but still, it's really so cool that when people respond, we have different people respond to different things. Everybody responds to everything a little bit different thing. And you have a drawing toward this. And so I believe this because God's going to, you know, you have an unction from the Holy Spirit and you know all things, the ability to know that. Knowing all things means knowing all things that you need to know about what you're doing and what you're called to do. Knowing all things isn't knowing, you know, like being like God and knowing all things about all everything. We know things that are concern us and our families, you know. And so I release that on you and Chris tonight in Jesus' name and on your family, that ability to have an unction to know all things. The scripture talks about that in 1 John. So, Lord, I thank you tonight for that unction to know all things. Jesus' name, all things that concern their lives, their family, their future, their finances, their job, their work, so that they can literally solve problems that most people cannot even solve. They don't even know how to start. That you guys are going to be solving those problems. God's going to give you, he's giving you an anointing and an unction from the Holy One to know all things about the things you're dealing with. So when the Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and know all things, all is a really big word, Andrika and Chris. Really big word. Really big word. All have an answer for the Holy One, know all things. Let me get that scripture for you. So. All right, here it is right here. It's 1 John 2:20 through 27. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Yeah, so you can read the whole thing, but so what does that mean? You have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. How can God's the only one that knows all things? Well, he's not talking about that. He's talking about knowing, like you got a problem coming up. Like Jesus would have, you know, problems. We don't even know how many problems that came his way. They worked on making his life rough, but little did they realize it was just easy for him. Oh, yeah, the light comes on. Tell him this. Tell him that. They work for days, racking their brain, their little 10% brain. They come up with some big question, and they'd hit him with it like, we're going to take him down. We got to make sure we do it in front of everybody so we can embarrass him. And he'd just go, oh, yeah, the light comes on. My burden is light. Oh, yeah, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. And they just like went, what? They were blown away. What was that? This the Holy Spirit? No, it was the Holy Spirit and his brain. And he had an unction from the Holy One, and he knew all things about whatever came his way. So, God, I just speak this over Enrica and God and her family, God, and her situation, that she'll be able to figure out
things that, that whether it's with her children, with her husband, or with each other, or, you know, family stuff, you know, whatever it is, business things. And it's like, man, that used to really weigh me down. And now it's like, bada bing, bada boom, or bada boom, bada bing, whichever one it is. It's all good. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I loosen that on them right now. In the name of Jesus, God, you've given her, I know that because of her response to me at times, you don't respond with very many messages that I get, but the ones that that you do, it shows me where you're at on them, and I think that's really cool. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Open that up to her, God, and bless them, God, in Jesus' name. Give them answers to everything they're going through, God, whatever it is. Let the light just come on, not just because the Holy Spirit's on them. Thank God for that, but when they're because their brain is going to begin to function. If you just use your 10%, so use your 10%, 100% of your 10% of your brain. You know, if we just do that right now, I mean that is amazing. Much less using 15%, 20%, 30%, and then go from 30, 60 to 100-fold. That's where we're going. That's where we are going. That's where this. That's where all this is headed, and it's a lot to do with pressure that's coming on the earth. To be able to handle that pressure and handle it like it's nothing. Hercules, you know, Hercules taking a building, you know, picking it up, sending it down. You know, like most people, you know, take them, you know, months and months to get all the structure where they could, you know, get, you know, 10,000 people and, you know, with machinery and everything, pick that building up. But he just did it with one hand, that kind of thing, to get the power of God and the brain. The full use of the brain. All right. Hold on a second here. All right. We're going to probably talk about that a lot tonight, so just get ready. All right. 202-722. You want to talk to Rico, please?
Hey, Brother Randy. This is Daryl Paul and Nicole from Maryland, D.C.
You're sounding kind of deep. I know your voice is a little raspy that night. But you're sounding like... like, what's his name on TV? God. Hey.
Sleepy boy, Randy.
All right. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for that, for the work of God. Thank you for the work, God. Thank you for the work. Showing Daryl how to work things through, how to work. Like, when we learn how to work, like when we go to work, literal physical work, whatever we're working on, whether it's a relationship, whether it's family, whether it's money, whatever the thing is, working, how to work. You know, Jesus said, the work I do, when my Father works, I work. And I thank you, Lord, for showing him how to enter into that more and more all the time, that he works when the Father works. You tell me, if the Father's not into something, you know, that we're doing, it's like, it just don't work, right? Ain't nothing working. What's going on? So we've learned to work when the Father works, how the Father works, the way he works. And so when we work, when the Father works, like Jesus worked on the Sabbath, he got a lot of problems over that, a lot of pressure over doing things on the Sabbath. You know, like healing people. I mean, what a disastrous, horrible thing that is. But, you know, he did it because the Father was doing it. You know, so whenever you're doing things that the Father's doing, when people persecute you for it or don't understand it, come against you about it, you're able to go, you know, hey, you know, I'm doing it because my Father's doing it. Therefore, what happens? The Father protects you. Father, you know, fights your battle for you. And if the Father's not with us in it, you know, we have nobody. We don't have the supernatural realm fighting for us. So we're fighting our battles by ourselves. So we're working by ourselves. Yoke and Jesus, my burden is light, is, you know, what do I see my Father do? So, Lord, I think we're opening his eyes more every day to see what the Father's doing. To know that relationship with that Jesus had with his Father is the same relationship we can have because we are sons. We're not God in the flesh, but we are sons of God who are sinners who were born again and saved through the Holy Spirit. And we're his children. We're his DNA. And I thank you, Lord, for opening him up to that. We can work with his Father and do the work of the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. And for Nicole, God, same thing, that thing about the work of God. You know, where do I work at? What do I do? What do I need to work on? You know, what things do I need to focus on? Focus, the focus of our work is everything. And that's what happens when we focus, you know, correctly, because focus is everything. And when we're focusing, you're focusing with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on what you're supposed to focus on. You know, we can focus on a lot of things. Focus is a thing, but you have to focus, but focusing on the thing that God wants to focus on is what causes us to laser beam it and get it done and get the solution, get the answers. And so the things you want her to meditate on, to whether it be biblical revelation or the Bible, whatever, the Word of God, or her life, her future, Jesus, what she's supposed to do, what she's not supposed to do, where she's supposed to go, what she's not supposed to go. Thank you, Jesus, for all that. Shoot, her focus, teaching her how to focus, or meditation, meditating on what God is saying, what God is doing. Like you told Joshua, if you focus on, you know, obedience, and you meditate on it, you will be successful. You will be successful. And I speak that success over her, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right, 863-605, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki from Florida, and could you pray for Stephanie, please?
Absolutely. All right, thank you, Lord, for Steph. Lord, we thank you for Stephanie, God. We thank you, Lord, for giving her courage. We thank you, Lord, for showing her the things that are unnecessarily weighing her down, the things she's thinking about, the things she feels obligated to think about that she's not supposed to be thinking about. That's what the mind, you know, the soul thing, the brain thing is all about. When we weigh ourselves down with things that are unnecessary, then, we're not able to process them through correctly, so they just stay with us. We can't really, because processing something through means we come to the other side of it. We work through it and come out on the other end going, the light came on, right? The light, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, the burden of the word of the Lord is, the burden is, you know, some information. It's something you're carrying. It's like, I'm carrying this. And so what am I carrying? What information is this like about my husband, my wife, my family, in your case, your husband, you don't have a wife, your other wife, your children, you know, your future, what's going on. And I thank you, Lord, for that ability to process things through God, come out on the other side in the light of God. Because when we have the light of God, it makes sense that the word light isn't just a light that we turn on, that turns on inside of us, we know something, but it also takes the heavy situation of dark, where we're in the dark about it, where we're unknowledgeable, we don't know what to do, we're in the dark, right? I'm in the dark about a lot of things. I don't live in darkness, but I have a lot of things that I don't know the answer to. So when the light comes on, what happens? It's no longer a heavy thing. It is light in two ways. It is light because I got bright light shining now, the answer, and then I'm no longer burdened with the heaviness of that thing. So I thank you, Lord, for showing her how to cast her cares upon you, Jesus, things that she's not supposed to be dealing with, that she can learn, you can teach her how to cast that upon you and leave it there. And the things that she is supposed to be burdened with or processing through, that she will do that and learn how to cast her care upon the Lord. And for, you know, you care for her, God, and you're there to help her work through things and give her wisdom on what to do. Amen. And, and I cast every burden off of her in Jesus' name, every false burden, every burden that she puts on herself, that any guilt, any shame, anything she blames herself for that she shouldn't be, any spirit of condemnation, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and I speak the ability in her to process through with no shame, no guilt from things that have been, you know, forgiven or dealt with, or, you know, in Jesus' name, that she has therefore now no condemnation, because that thing she's dealing with is in Christ Jesus now. You know, the difficult thing, the mistakes, the things she thinks she failed in, she made mistakes in, what did I do wrong, what should I have done different, all that stuff, God, that she will cast it upon you, and that spirit of condemnation will be broken off of her, and she'll be able to move out of that anxiety and move into the light, where suddenly the light comes on, but that heavy burden becomes easy. It's not heavy anymore. It's now, you know, wow, she's come to the other side of it. Help her process through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Because what ruins the process is the anxiety and condemnation. That's what stops the process from getting us through the other side, because we get stopped up in this, like, what did I do wrong? Nothing wrong with asking what we do wrong. But getting stuck on that and knowing that doesn't matter what you did wrong, God looks at it like we're learning. He doesn't look at it like, you know, we did some horrible thing wrong. It's more like we learn from it, therefore we don't do it anymore, right? So what's there to be condemned about that? We learn from something. Everybody learns. You know, we're learning from the Holy Spirit all the time. Amen. All right, so Nick and Charles, God, I thank you, Lord, for them. God, I thank you, Jesus, for the same thing with them tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for that. That yoke is easy, all the yokes that they bury, that they carry, that some of them they're going to bury. It kind of came out of my mouth. That those yokes, they will bury some of those yokes, and they will carry some of those yokes. Thank you, Jesus, that the yoke is the burden of the word of the Lord. The yoke is the calling to do what God has called us to do, multifaceted, whether it be with our family, our neighborhood, our body, our husband, our wife, our children, whatever that is, our callings, in Jesus' name, that because when we walk in our calling, we're blessed. When you walk in your calling, you're blessed. That I found that out the long road on that one, that when I finally got in line with God about being a prophet, and I didn't know what that was, I was willing to do it now. And so when I was willing to do it, then he began to show me it wasn't what I thought, all of it at least. And so I began to come in agreement and in alignment with him. When I did, even the financial blessings, they just, you know, the provision comes. Because you know what, God's not going to pay us for something. Well, when's God going to pay me? That's what I say. Well, when am I going to get paid by God? I'm doing your work. He said, make sure you're doing my work. Well, I'm doing evangelism. He said, did I tell you to do evangelism like that? What am I telling you to do now? What am I having you do now? Paying you for what you used to do. I pay you for what I want you to do now. So I began to get that, like, oh, profit now, huh? Okay, whatever that is. And so because I was got on the road to learning about being the prophet God wanted me to be, whatever that was, simply enrolled in class, so to speak, and became willing to do it. So what happened? He starts paying for my schooling. He starts paying me, taking care of me. Now you're in there. I pay for what I have you do. If I'm not paying for it, I ain't doing it. I'm not going to pay for something that I'm not involved in. Yeah, that's what. So that whole payment system, not that we don't have struggles sometimes and battles, we all do. I've had plenty of them where I needed help, that kind of thing. But when you're doing what God wants you to do, the will of God, he pays you for that. And most people don't realize the payment system of heaven has to do with one thing. I only do what I see my Father do. And the more we come in alignment with that, the money, the stuff, the provision, the information we need just comes flowing in. It becomes yoke is easy. Not, oh, God, I'm not going to make it bad. I mean, if you know how many people, especially in ministry, that do that, including myself at times, I used to. Oh, God, where's it going? You know, he said, Randy, I only pay you for what I have you do, son. Okay, get in line. And so I got in line. I got out of the soup line and got into the bank line. I'm going to the bank, pick up my check, you know, from God, you know, because I got in line with what he wanted. God just doesn't pay. People say, a lot of ministries do this. I mean, I've seen it. I've been in ministry for a long time. And seen ministries and, you know, been a part of them and been under them. And I've seen how they function. And they get into that thing, man. They have to start, you know, begging for that and bring that money. You know, my pastor, who was a great man of God, the one that I was there for 10 years. And every once in a while, everybody could kind of see it coming. He would get that anxiety thing going on. He's up there. You could tell. He was just like, you know, we got to talk about the money thing in the wrong way. He was trying to get people, and then people felt guilty and shameful, and gave out of guilt and shame instead of out of freedom and liberty. And therefore, it brought the cycle work. Finally, he went out of business completely. Went out of business completely. Yeah, because he wasn't getting paid because he wasn't doing anyway. So that's a really big thing in large ministries, Benny Hinn ministries, to little ministries like mine. Tells you to do. That's it. You got to get a job, go to work. And the boss says, where you been all morning? Hey, well, I've been working. For who?
Well, I had to tell me I was going to. He said, okay, make sure you cut those hours off because I ain't paying you for what I ain't having to do. You know, if you're working for me and doing what I say, then I'm going to pay you for it, right? You get that paycheck, yeah. Yeah, well, that's a really, really big thing. And most preachers today still haven't got it. They haven't got it. They've gotten addicted to begging. Yeah, not raising money in God by the Holy Spirit, begging. Yeah. And you see it. I see it all the time. It is sad, and it is really sad to watch happen. So, you know, and every preacher I know of goes through that. And some of them learn, some of them don't. Some of them just beg until they can't, you know, then they just get out of ministry. Because they dry up. It dries up. Completely. I've seen it happen to many people. Some of the most anointed people. My God. I saw them getting off into the money thing. They started raising money everywhere they went, all the time. Pretty soon, nobody wanted to show up in meetings anymore. And what happened? The money dried up. Why? Because they weren't doing the work. They were trying to raise money for the work, but they weren't doing the work. So it was a really good thing. So God's going to show you guys about that. I know you already know some about it. He can teach you more and more about it. Because he wants you to be successful. Success is, like Joshua, you know, meditate on my word day and night, and you'll be successful. He had him focusing on the main thing for Joshua, is meditating on the word day and night. That was going to make him successful. Some people are meditating and focusing on the wrong things, and therefore they're expecting God to pay them when they're not even on the job for God. They're doing, you know, oh, God, we're casting out devils and healing the sick. He said, get away from me. I don't even know who you are. Not on my payroll. Get back, Jack. I ain't paying for that, you know. Get on my payroll. Yeah, my burden is easy. My yoke is light. Yeah. We get that anointing, that false anointing off ministries. We hang around them long enough. And it gets on us, and we become just like them. And I decided I wasn't going to do that. But God, I'm not going to be a merchandiser, and I'm not going to be begging people for nothing. I'm not going to do that. That mean we didn't have hard times. Very little anymore. Very little. Because the more I got into the will of God, the more He just pays me. You know, you have to beg for your paycheck. It just comes in. There's times we don't ask, and you know I've done that too, but it's been a long time ago. And so thank you, Jesus, for that. Hallelujah. He said, "Give." When He told me to give that money that I had stored up, I'm going to have money for a building. He says, that money for the building, Randy, that's for something else. I went, oh, God. So what I do? I had to do what He wanted to do with it. How did I stay on His payroll? I did with that money what He said to do with that money. But I only do what I see my Father do. That's where the paycheck comes from. Right? So I'm going like, dear God, I've been really slow at learning this. And, you know, so anyway, and I'm guaranteeing you 90% of ministries are doing what we're not supposed to be doing. Maybe 98, a bunch of them. And it's gotten off on other people that they've raised and been around. It gets off on them. And then they do it. They spend their whole life doing what they did, what they were raised around, for the most part. So I had to break ties. I had to take some yokes off of me because those yokes were anointings and mantles that had gone astray. And I was acting like them and doing like them, thinking that, you know, not understanding what was really going on their side. And when I found out what was going on their side, when I saw the real truth, they were failing. They were not successful. Dear God, how do I change that? How do I change? I know you guys have a heart for that, so I know God's really going to show you. You're going to be listening to PGN, that's for sure. So, and then can you revelation on that's going to be awesome. All right, 325-280, you want to talk to Ruth, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for that payroll thing, God. We thank you for the payroll. Jesus, we thank you for payroll. Yeah. Show me the money. Show me the money. In other words, it's like show me the fruit. You know, because when we get on God's payroll, it's this whole teaching, and you've talked about this, in a very powerful way. I can't remember exactly how you said it, but one night when you're praying, I think you're praying over Julie or something. I remember how you're doing when everybody was praying on the show that night. I forget what you said exactly, but I've never really heard it like that before. It's exactly like that. And I think you learned it from that guy you were hanging with, that one minister guy, pretty cool. So I'm not sure exactly where you got that at, but the payment system, that's the thing that we're learning about, is the payment system, about whether we're preaching healing, deliverance, salvation, whatever we're doing, we're preaching that Jesus has paid the price. It's not by works. You don't do certain things to get saved. It's free. It's the grace of God. Then from then on, then we tap into the kingdom of God and learn how to get on the payroll. Right? Getting on the payroll means when you're preaching the gospel, you get people you're preaching to on the payroll of God. You had sins. Guess who paid for them? Jesus did. Get on his payroll. You know, you need financial blessings. You know, repent of what you're doing. You're not giving your tithes and offerings, whatever you did. This will be, being wise with the money God's giving you. And he's telling you what to do, and you're not doing it. You know, you're not on his payroll. Get on his payroll. Jesus Christ has paid for it all. Everything you come short on, everything you got sin about, he's paid for it. And God's using you, bro, to release the information and connect people to the payment system of heaven, to get on God's payroll, whether it's about the payroll of, for their sins, to get saved, to get their healing from God. You know, God's payroll, you know, he's paid for it. To reveal that to them, that the anointing on you to release that, to open up the whole thing. Because most people that I've known that God has really used, many of them that you read books about, had visions and dreams of what Jesus paid for on the cross. And they got it personal from God. Like, it wasn't just something they heard. Like Peter, where Jesus says, my Father's revealed it to you. So when the Father reveals it to you, that payment system, every person I've ever heard of that got some special divine revelation on that, became powerhouses for God. Powerhouses. As long as they remained in that and they didn't start changing it into getting people to pay for it, like trying to raise money, get people outside the payment system, trying to do things in the flesh, trying to, raise money on my own with my own abilities instead of, what God does it, and teaching people that, about the payment system. When you do that, they get on God's payment system, and the money starts coming in. Offerings start coming in. Blessings start coming in. Why? Because they're getting on the payment system of heaven in every area of their life. They're not living under condemnation. Why? Because of the payment system. Where Jesus, that's what communion is so powerful, dude, because it's about the payment system of heaven. That's why I, try to do it every day. Sometimes I get busy and I go a day and I'm like, oh my God, I've got to take communion. But that's why that God started speaking to me about doing it every day, because it's strictly one thing, basically, about who's paid for your sins, Randy. Who's paid for everything? Who's paid for what you're supposed to do? Who's already paid for all that? Who's made the way for it? Jesus, and only Jesus, Chris, that. It's gonna really open you up to that. It's taking dominion over your life. Where everything you do, you're gonna think about, number one, we gotta be in the will of God. There's the will of God. Outside the will of God, it's not paid for. Right? It may be the will of God for somebody else. God may be paying it for somebody else to do it. But what you gonna pay? He pays us to do what he's called us to do. Period. Ain't gonna pay us for something. But so and so else is doing this. I think I could do that because the money started coming in. They were gonna have a lot of people. Build buildings and help people and do things. But if God's not having you do that, he ain't going to pay for that, right? And that's what I had to start learning, because I shared with or called before with Charles and Nikki, that learning how to, that God only pays for what he has us. He pays us for what he has us do. And if we're doing things and he needs to get $1 million through us, and we're willing to do it, give, like he had me do with the gold and silver thing and change it from being for what I call it, for building, or something, for the body of Christ. And I became willing to do that. Oh my God. The payroll of heaven they're all happy. They're saying, yeah, get ready to send Randy Chandler, you know, that big payment, you know. And God knows the payments that I want. I want it all. I want everything. But I want that revelation, man. I want that information from heaven. Oh, yeah. Give me that. Give me some of that. First, the kingdom of God is righteousness, and all those other things will be added. Why? Because we're on his payroll. Hallelujah. What's God paying for? Jesus, I thank you for my brother God and bringing him into that payroll system. Hallelujah. He's going to be cutting some checks. For, like you'll be working in the checking department of heaven, you know, like, hey, Chris, the boss, you know, kind of, you know, yeah. Hey, Chris, yeah, come in, come in the office and say, yes, sir, God, what, Father, what can I do for you? What do you need? He said, well, I need to, you know, that I gave you a couple million like last week. I need you to take, you know, a million of that and give it to so-and-so over there. You know, over there on 3rd Street. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That, those people. Yeah. Oh, I need to get it to them today, okay? Yes, sir. So, like, okay. So, God's giving you the authority. You know, he didn't have to write the check and put his name on it. He gives you the authority to write the check yourself to put your own name on it. Right? Of course, the check says from the Father, from God Almighty, but he's giving you the right to sign the check. So, thank you, Lord, for that. And working in the payment system of heaven, and the writing checks and the passing it along department, you know. So thank you, Jesus, for that, and blessing him, God, and showing him about that, revealing it to him. Amen. Hallelujah. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Bum, bum, bum. Gonna do everything I can to win this fight with the payroll system of heaven. Yeah. Okay. All right. 910-379, who I talk to or something.
Hello, Randy. This is Faye out of North Carolina.
Hey, Faye. All right, Faye. Thanks for sending me that little email about the Rothschild. I haven't got a chance to look at all of it, but I like this stuff, man. I did see that. I haven't got on that yet, but thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I just see thankfulness. I see a thankfulness, a gratitude coming out of you, like like a gratitude from the heart. You know, sometimes we're trying to be thankful because we know but it's hard because we're going through this, we're going through that. You know, I go through that all the time. I was going through that stress thing the last few months in the month of October. Yeah, it's November now, the month of October. And before that, you know, September and whatever, and it was building up so strong. I was trying to be thankful, you know, but really I was like, I'm getting overwhelmed with all this stuff. So, you know, like, so all of a sudden, you know, in my heart, I begin to just be truly thankful. God, thank you. Thank you. And it just kind of, you know, it wasn't just from my trying to be thankful and trying to honor him and give him the glory for it and not feeling it, you know, but just doing it by faith, you know. And I think it's a good thing. But all of a sudden, it broke through inside me, and I began to just thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, now I see why I couldn't do that and why that wouldn't work and why that wasn't going to happen over there. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just give you glory, Jesus. I just thank you, God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You are awesome. Oh, yeah. This is amazing. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. In that gratitude. You talk about the payment system of heaven. The payment system of heaven is made up of, you know, thankfulness, because what Jesus did when he took the bread, he's going to feed the 5,000 men around 25. 30,000 people overall, took 5 loaves, 2 fish, and fed that whole crew. It's amazing, right? So what was he doing? He understands how the payment system from the Father works, and that was that he took what little bit he had, knowing it wasn't enough. Dude, there's no way that's going to even feed his own crew. Yeah. He took the bread, he lifted it up to the Father, creator of, you know, his dad, and he blessed it and broke it and gave thanks. Gave thanks. Maybe he gave thanks and blessed it and broke it. Either way, he was giving thanks, right? So that's what I see you doing inside. Thank you, Lord, for that giving thanks thing in her. Like Jesus gave thanks. He blessed the bread, broke it, and gave it out. When he did, it began to multiply and increase. Lord, I thank you for that gratitude, that thankfulness, God, that all the struggles she's gone through, all the battles she's gone through, that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of graciousness and gratitude, God, rising up within her, God, in Jesus' name, causing her to be healed, causing her body to be
blessed and multiply and increase in its ability to heal itself and restore and recover and renew and believe you and have our faith completely restored in you, God, 100% in Jesus' name. Not 30, not 60, but 100% restoration of her faith, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus, for that spirit of thankfulness in her, God. Hallelujah. You know, it's Thanksgiving coming up pretty soon. I don't know what it is exactly, but it's not far away. But let's see. How far are we away from that? I haven't kept up. Third. So that 2 weeks away, 2 weeks in a day. Yeah. So I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I just thank you, Lord, for that spirit of gratitude and thankfulness rise up within her, causing things to increase and multiply, her faith increase and multiply, her happiness and joy increase and multiply. Father, her friendship with you, her knowledge of you, her, the wisdom you give her increases and multiplies in the name of Jesus. We give you glory for that, God, right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless her, God. Bless her. Bless her with that blessing of thankfulness. Jesus took the bread. He gave God thanks. Let me see how he did that. Yeah, I'm seeing it right here. It says that he gave thanks to the Father, blessed the Father. Amen. That's what I thought. There it is right there. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So I thank you, Lord, for that word tonight, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the graciousness inside of her, God. I thank you, Lord, for the amazing power and the ability to give thanks and then lift up what she doesn't have enough of, and you cause it to multiply and increase in her life, God. In Jesus' name, let that be done now. Hallelujah. Jesus, I release it. I break the seal in it, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let her be blessed and multiply and increase, God, right now. Everything good. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Thanks for saying. Thanks for that email. All right, 915-248. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Randy, is Daniel in Texas?
Hey, Dan. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for that same thing with him, the spirit of thankfulness, gratitude. Thanksgiving's coming up, and I normally don't even talk about Thanksgiving much. I hate to say it, but I thank you, Lord, for the power to believe you, God, for substance results on a frequent and regular basis. Lord, I thank you that you're stirring hope inside of Daniel. Bring hope inside of him, hope to hope in the right things, to hope in the things that God has him hoping in. Sometimes we hope in things that, you know, God's not involved in. I've done a lot of that. We've all done that. We hope in this, hope in a certain thing, a certain, you know, job or business or relationship or whatever, and God, you know, wasn't really in it. And so we had false hope for a while about things. You know, I've had that with jobs. I've done it with, you know, things I did in the ministry that I thought was good. I had hope that it was going to be a blessing. It wasn't. And so God began to, little by little, you know, show me that that's just part of life. It just happens. And so we learn how to adjust. We're more flexible. We're, you know, that you give Daniel that ability to be flexible and bend and be able to learn and grow and move on, learn and grow and move on. A lot of people go through things and they have a hard time moving on. And I thank you, Jesus, that Daniel has that ability to move on, to cross over to the other side. I just see you crossing over into the other side of something like when they cross over from the wilderness time of just having, you know, God giving them manna every day and feeding them that way. But they really, things changed when they crossed over and went into the Jordan, crossed over the Jordan and went into the land of promise. And then they began to eat from the land. It was a whole different thing, you know. And so I thank you, Lord, that Daniel's moving from that place of that provision, which was awesome, to a whole nother level of provision because he's crossing over to a whole new place, a whole new season, a whole new time, God. And you're going to provide for him and bless him and show him that provision back there was like you know, it was different. And when they crossed over, it became a thing of more practical. From that day on, they ate from the food that was on the earth. Not it didn't have to be rained down from heaven anymore. And it was very practical food they grew. He said, "You're going to eat of the corn of the land, the corn of the land. It's not going to be manna anymore." He entered into a whole other thing, and it was powerful. It was a step up. And I thank you, Jesus, for Daniel, God, and moving him forward into that, God, the ability to move on, to cross over, and to move into the new, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And do like Joshua when he was told to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Meditate on the Word of God. Show him what to meditate on, God. Show him what to focus on. And focus on the Word. Focus on this whole thing about his ability to cross over, that the provision he had before was great, but this level of provision is going to be even greater in a more practical way or something. I don't know what practical means exactly, but thank you, Lord, for opening that up in Jesus' name. Let him see it. Let him know it. Let him cross over and put his toe in the water like they did when they put their toe in the water. The river opened up and they crossed over the Red Sea. When Moses put his staff in there, this thing, when they crossed over, the priest put their toe in the water, and then in the river stopped, and they crossed over. It dried up for them to cross over. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Let him cross over, Jesus. Let him be blessed right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. 214-646, I'm going to talk to you, Professor.
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, all right. I got to text Tanisha a little bit today about talking about some brains. That was pretty cool. Thank you, Lord, for thank God. We're just moving into a season of Terrence and Tanisha moving into a season of taking things that we've kind of been in before. Kind of like I gave the word I just gave to Daniel, where we've been in a time of waiting for our manna to come from heaven, you know, in a sense. And, and they struggled with that. It was a battle. It was hard for them. They liked it better when they were in Egypt, when, you know, they worked every day and got food. Here they really, everything changed. So when they crossed over to the Jordan, into the new land. And I just feel like that's happening. I just thank you, Lord, that that's happening to them, God, that they're passing over into a new land, a new way of thinking. Like the revelation we're going to get is going to be in a whole different level, a whole different place. Our thinking is going to completely change on how we, you know, work through things. God's going to take, in other words, it's going to be like compared to getting a little bit of stuff last a long time to getting so much stuff we have to store it up or just give it away. It's so much because of the abundance of information, the abundance of blessings, the abundance of a lot of things. But thank you, Jesus, for Terrence and Tanisha, God, that you're blessing them with, because when we get abundance of revelation, like with me in the prophetic realm, when I get abundance of prophetic revelation, sometimes it's direct word from the God, sometimes it's information about that information that expands what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, and I begin to think in ways I never thought about before. It's like the brain thing. The brain thing was something became like I started thinking in a whole different way about why I needed my brain to work fully. I feel like, what does this have to do with anything? And it became a whole new way of thinking for me, a whole new way of looking at things, a whole new way. And I shared a little bit about that tonight. So that's kind of see with you guys. It's like getting this whole refreshing view of the way of looking at things from knowing the ways of God. Like that's what the brain thing to me was. God began to show me his ways. It used to just always go, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. And then, you know, but now it's like the Holy Spirit on me and my functioning brain. And the better my brain functions, you know, the more I can do with what God gives me. So he gives me, a little bit, and it turns into a lot. I don't have to take a little bit and use it for a long time. He gives me a little bit of information and I process it through. And it turns into this massive operation. It's like the mustard seed faith. I thank you for that mustard seed faith with them, God. In Jesus' name, for that little thing turns into, you know, a big thing. in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Instead of having getting a little bit and living off that little bit for a long time, you know, and, you know, doing okay. That's what they did in the wilderness. They lived off that manna. It was like, even though God brought it, it was, you know, completely different in the land of Canaan. Hallelujah. The new process you're taking through, how to process things, processing things through in a unique way, in a brand new way, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's like all of a sudden a part of them just wakes up and goes, I never thought about it like that before. You know, I know you already do that, but more of a frequent basis where we get a little bit of information and boom, it turns into this massive, like that Jesus took 5 loaves, 2 fish and turned into, fed, you know, 30,000 people and had 10 baskets full of bread left over coming back to them. In Jesus' name, place of abundance in their ability to take a little bit and turn it into abundance, Father, in Jesus' name, because you're going to do that. You're going to show them how to get the blessing in that by the things that they say and do, how they pray, and when they give it away, when they do it, it turns into this one thing, then another thing, then another thing, then it just keeps multiplying and increasing. It never stops, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The eternal blessing, the eternal knowledge of God. What was that? The eternal knowledge of God? Okay, I heard that. Thank you, Lord. The eternal knowledge of God. The eternal knowledge of God. But that's what happened with Peter, I think, when Jesus said, my Father showed you, because it came from just the natural, normally the natural realm of people sharing information and they're working it through, you know, from what they've been taught when they were younger, blah, blah, blah. To eternal, I heard that come out of my mouth, eternal information. But the Father said to Peter, Jesus recognized it, that information and the way he said it was different. So now normally you say some really good things, Peter, but today that's eternal information. You got that from my Father. I can tell that it came from eternity. In other words, the eternity, eternal, the never-ending, it never ends. It's always flowing. Always more than enough. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus' name. All right. 915-995.
Hey, Prophet Randy. God bless you. It's Carmen from Texas.
Hey, Carmen. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Carmen tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for that. For those dry places, for those things, like when Elijah, you know, when the brook dried up, I think at first he probably thought, oh, God, what did I do wrong? What's going on? It had nothing to do with any of that. It was like, you know, can we settle into a realm of provision? It's like, it's really cool. And we're just, we keep waiting, he kept waiting for that raven to show up, you know, how many times a day, I don't know if the raven showed up, but you know, God took good care of him. Yes, he says, when you're a servant, and you choose to do what he says, no matter what, he will. His jealousy over you is astounding, and he doesn't. He takes care of his people, his servants who do what he says, no matter what. And that's what Elijah was. He was a do what I say, do what God says, no matter what. No matter what anybody thinks about it, no matter what's going on, he's just going to tell you, and that's it. You know, you can call down fire, you can do whatever. Yeah, so God was taking care of him, and then all of a sudden the river started drying up. So he starts going like, "Okay, what's going on? What's up here?" And that's a process that we go through, right? So then the raven didn't show up one day, and he's going like, "Okay, the raven didn't show up like all day long, and I'm getting really hungry and thirsty. I can live without the raven's food, but I got to have that water, and the water started drying." So and all of a sudden the Lord said, "I want you to go to a widow in Zarephath." So he went to the widow of Zarephath during a time of famine. And when you're serving God and you're obeying God, that the most powerful thing that happens is that he takes that ability to hear from God and talk to God and give and speak to people what God has you given. So he goes and that woman was cooking her last meal. Her and her son were going to die. And he said, well, give me the first biscuit. Give me the first bit of bread. And that was like half her meal, right?
that though she had such a giving heart, she had such an understanding of God and the anointing on Elijah, and Elijah asking her the right questions at the right time in the right position that she was in of desperation. And she wasn't just wanting to eat and die. She wanted to live, as we all do. So when Elijah asked her that, it got her mind on God and giving to God first and putting God first. She knew he was a prophet. And so when she gave that to him, it created a blessing in her where her meal and oil didn't run out. Right. And so that was a time of famine where people were dying all around her. So as we head toward this difficult time ahead of us, God's really going to begin to show you how that works, how that that when Elijah went to her, it didn't just save him, which is why God sent him there, to save himself, right, to get food, but it was to save her and to get her connected to that eternal provision from the Father. So I thank you, Lord, for that and showing her that, open her up to that realm, God, in Jesus' name, where she can function, knowing that no matter what situation, whether the river's drying up, whether the resources need to be drying up, you know, right in the middle of that, when we're starting to say, God, what's going on around here? He said, you know, then he speaks and he says, go to the widow. And of all things, he goes to a widow who's starving to death and eating their last meal. Like, you know, how crazy is that? But it was a divine appointment. And he could see, he knew about divine appointments. He knew that something was up. So I think for Carmen, that she will know when something's up. She will be on both ends. She will know when what to say to people to draw them out to trust God. And also she would be like the woman who hears the word of the Lord and obeys God and, you know, does what God tells her to do to save her life and her family, if you could say. And that's what happened in the family. People are dying all around us. And that very famine was the one that Elijah's the one got. Elijah's the one who spoke it. He's the one. Remember Ahab said, "You sorry dog. You started this famine. You started this drought. You started this thing." And then and Elijah says, "No, you because of you, I had to do it. Because of you." So he knew how to put, you know, people in their place. And yet it was because Elijah knew that. What God was doing with, because of Ahab and all that. But he's the one who did speak it. And so important role in what's going to happen in the near future. Amen. Okay. 803-991, who am I talking to you from?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. Thank you, Lord, for Angela, God. I thank you, Lord, for that, the needs that she has, God, the needs. Sometimes God creates a need in us that is, you know, a need to, like, eat food and drink water. We have a need for that. And so when we get thirsty, we know. We just go, we don't even think about, oh, God, do I get a drink of water now or what do I do? We know when we're thirsty. We haven't had any water. Oh, we've got to go get some water. It's just something we just do. We don't have to pray about that. It's part of it. We have a need, and we go and we, you know, get the water, we drink it, and we get hungry, you know, unless we're on a fast or something, we go eat. Because that's what our body, it's the way, it's our natural, we have needs, and we just automatically go. We don't have to fast and pray about going to get a drink of water when we're thirsty. We just do it because it's we get so used to that that we forget that that's the way the things of God are, too. When we have needs that God has, see, that's the difference, is the needs that we have from God and the needs that we just like, you know, that are unnecessary things. I'm not talking about, you know, God can have a need in us to need $1 million. He can have a need in us to become, you know, have 3 cars. I mean, you know, whatever, you know, an airplane. But, and that could be a need from God. It's not like just the basic necessities or needs, but when God has a will for you and a plan for you and a desire for you, it comes with certain needs, and it's from him. And so he teaches you how to, you know, using the drink of water and the food as an example. That's just a natural thing that, you know, God made our bodies. We got to have water, right? He made it like that. He did. We're not drinking water because it's some excessive thing we're doing. Got to have it to live and food. you know, so it's the same thing if he had a need for me to have 3 airplanes, which he doesn't, if he did, then if that was a need that he gave me for what he's doing, maybe I'm going to give them away, maybe I'm going to fly, maybe I'm going to do something, I don't know. Then that need, I just go and get it. It's just like you go get a drink of water. If you don't have any water, you can find some water, right? You just go after it and you look. And so I thank you, Lord, for all the things, the needs that she has that are created in you, by you, through you, God, a need for information, a need for love, a need for compassion, a need for be able to give, a need to help people, a need to be a blessing. All the different needs that you have created in her, God, that she will learn how to just, you're like, you'll get a drink of water when you need it. You know, you don't have to pray about it and think about it. If God had me needing 3 airplanes, then I'd just be going like, okay, God, let's go to the airplane place. You know, you hear about people who have great faith. They don't have any money. God tells them, I want you to go to the airport, and somebody's going to pay for your ticket. Well, do I need to call somebody, tell them I'm going, so they can get the money to get it for me, maybe? He said, no, just go show up at the airport. So he tells you to do it. There's a need he has, and you're the one who has the need because he created it in you. You show up at the airport, and all of a sudden somebody shows up and goes, are you Angela from South Carolina? You go, uh-huh. He goes, God told me to pay for your airplane ticket and give you some extra money for that. And she just went, oh, yeah, that's exactly what God told me, too. Thank you. Who are you? Oh, yeah, I don't know. You don't know. No. God just, oh, wow. So that's kind of what happens. We have a need, and we, you know, like God says, oh, I need you to go, you know, get a car. You know, what do? You go to the car lot, or wherever he tells you to go. You know, where are you going to get a drink of water? At a faucet, wherever the water comes out, water hose somewhere, a little store, buy some water, something. You know, you go, you show up, and so God meets the need, whatever that need is, because it's created by him. God's really going to show you that. All right. 612-991. Talk to your friend, please.
Yeah. Hello, Randy. This is Joyce and Blossom from Minnesota. And also, if you could pray for Beverly, Hope, and Faith. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. All right. So Beverly, Hope, and Faith. Give me a second here. For Beverly Hope, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you for their love for you, God. We thank you, Jesus, for the activities that you want them to do, God. So for the activities you have for them, then, God, you know that God gives us activities to do to entertain us sometimes, to keep ourselves entertained, sometimes give us activities to learn things, to do things that are productive, so we can feel good about ourselves because we're made to get things done. We've been built like that. We're made to that. So I thank you, Lord, for the activities you want Beverly to be into as far as her and her children and her family. God, that will sometimes you have us to go do something and to get a certain thing done, and we get it done, we feel really awesome, like, oh my gosh, I got something done. It's like it just makes you feel like, you know, you've got something happening, you know, and that's the way God made us. So the activities, I think, for Beverly, God, let's show the activities that she needs to feed herself, that she needs to do, to focus on, to work on, so that she can, when she finishes them and completes the little things she has, she's doing, she feels good about herself. She's like, oh my God, I'm a good mother, I'm a good friend, I'm a good, you know, daughter, I'm a good whatever I am. And giving her activities, God, that she can complete them and do them, so that she can, find joy and peace and value and worth in the activities that you have her do, God. And she was saying, whether it's taking care of her children, doing certain things for them, doing whatever the thing is, that it will bring her. Because when we don't have those things going on, we have a need to be productive of some sort, and we're not being productive, then we dry up. We lose our hope. We begin to, you know, weep and feel sorry for ourselves. All kinds of things happen.
So thank you, Lord, for that love, God, and Beverly, in Jesus' name, for hope, God. We pray for a little hope, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that hope will begin to see, you know, God, the pure things, what things are lovely, what things are pure, what things are beautiful. Think on these things, God, that hope will be one of those who does that. She thinks on those things that are pure and lovely and righteous and good and, you know, honorable and all that. God, I thank you, Lord, for letting her life be a representation of that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, to bless her. And for faith, Father, we thank you for faith. We thank you, Lord, that faith is, that you give faith, the thing of being beautiful, what being beautiful is, what real beauty is all about. Physical beauty is awesome. It's great to have. We all have that to a certain degree. But what real beauty is all those things together. We thank you, Jesus, that faith will walk in that realm of knowing what true beauty is. Beauty is from the inside. Beauty comes from God. True beauty comes from, you know, being beautiful in God, doing what's right, doing what's beautiful, being a beautiful person, telling people the truth when they need it, and loving them even though they reject you. The whole thing about being what true beauty is, God, in Jesus' name, she will be that to many in Jesus' name. Thank you for Blossom tonight, God. Thank you for that Blossom, that very thing, God, that she's blossoming, Father, and that as she blossoms, Lord, you're going to show her how to make transitions from blossoming, from, you know, the way we think when we're children, the way we think when we're aging, we're growing up. And I thank you, Lord, for all the ability to help her process through that. When you are a child, you think like a child, you act like a child. Nothing wrong with that. That's what we do. But when you, you know, mature and grow up, you act like a, you know, we act older. Our brain starts working differently. So I thank you, Lord, for all the transitions that Blossom is making, Father, and learning how to handle things, doing things, in Jesus' name, that she grows and matures, in Jesus' name, to help her to process through and to cross over, making right decisions and handling things in new ways, differently from what she did when she was younger. When we're younger, the things we do are, you know, what we do because we're children. We get older, we start changing the way we deal with things, and it's all good. When a child acts like a child, that's because they're a child. When we get older, we start thinking more of a mature person. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. You give us the strength to do that, the wisdom to do that, Father, to grow graciously and to grow in power and wisdom. And Jesus, thank you, Lord, for Joyce. Thank you, Lord, for Joyce, God. I thank you for her hope, her faith, that her faith is in you, Jesus, her faith in love. The grace of these is love, that God, that she sees that everything she does in her faith comes from love. Everything she does that she hopes in, faith opened up, hope that she hopes in, it comes from love. And God, that everything she does in faith and hope, with the grace of these love, when she does those things, she does them out of hope, out of love, I mean. And if she begins to hope, she hopes out of love. If she begins to have faith, her faith is rooted in love. God, in Jesus' name, that she sees that even though I'm going to be rough with this, I'm going to be tough with this, sometimes I say, so there is tough love, that I have to be tough. But it's true love. And so thank you, Lord, for giving the strength and ability to do that, how to love, how to be tough love, and how to, you know, be gentle love and do all the different love realms, many different love realms, and teach her how to walk in all that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. To be a blessing, to be a full blessing. All right, 480-795.
Greg from Arizona.
Hey, Greg. Thank you, Lord, for Greg. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of God. He said, when you ask for wisdom, you shall receive it. And I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom you've given Greg over the years. The Father, he's going to realize that when he truly asks you, you're truly going to give it to him. And when he receives it, he's going to act upon it. And learning how to act upon it, learning how to activate the wisdom you give him, how to put it into action. Because sometimes we get wisdom, but we don't bring it into action, you know, so the whole thing. I thank you, Lord, for that ability to put things into action, to activate things to properly. Like we talked about this not long ago about how that, you know, people have to do acts of faith, but they're not doing acts of faith in line with, you know, what it's all about. They're just trying to activate whatever they can. But when you activate your faith, there's a process you go through. There's a way you do it. You activate your faith, you know, in the way God has you do it. Like a lot of people in the Bible,
You know, Jesus had the guy, he put mud on his eyes. You know, and the act of faith in him was to wash the wash. Go in the pool of Siloam, I think, and wash his eyes out. And when he did, he got eyeballs. Brand new. Act of faith. There's many different ways Jesus had people do faith things. And he told them what to do. If the guy would have said, no, I'm going to eat the dirt, or I'm going to, like, leave it on there for a while, you know, he would have been doing what Jesus said. The faith comes from what Jesus tells us to do. And I think the Lord God given him the wisdom on how to activate his faith the way you tell him, the way you show him, God. And Jesus, instead of doing it the old way or the new way, but do it God's way. And in the name of the Lord, Father, for his faith is strong, God, that he has strong faith in you, Jesus. And I thank you for uncovering that faith and letting him know that he has, that you're showing him how to activate that faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For much fruit and for much action. Be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 903-808, you want to talk to us then, please?
This is Jeannie in Texas.
Hey, Jeannie. Jeannie's been having her little dog died, and she told me about that on Monday. And, you know, and I told her, I said, you know, I completely understand. I know when our little Lulu died, our dog died. You know, they're part of your family. They're part of who you dogs are. Animals have souls, and we connect to them. And, man, I said, you know, she said, Randy, they're just part of our family. I said, yeah, tell me about it. I know. And I'm an animal person myself. I don't have any animals, much lately, but, you know, over the years, you know, they're part of your life. And I thank you, Jesus, that you've given Jeannie that love for animals and that love for that, you know, and that ability to care for and love and the kingdom and the animal kingdom, the whole animal kingdom is a place that in the future is going to become rough. I mean, animals are going to turn on people. And I thank you, God, that you, that you're going to show her, you're showing her how to deal with the animal kingdom. That's part of her calling is the animal kingdom. And animal kingdom has its own thing. It has its own, you know, God designed it for certain things. And God gave us animals to dominion over. You've given her dominion. So I thank you, Lord, for showing her the area of dominion you've given her to rule over animals and creatures, how to feel for them, how to take care of them, how to help them, how to get them healed, how to get them delivered, how to get them free, how to get them blessed, how to get them to be the best, you know, breed the best animals, breed the bread, do all the things, the very best for the glory of God. And that whole kingdom that you've given her an anointing for the kingdom, the animal kingdom. That's just like Adam and Eve. I mean, God brought all the animals before him, and he named them all. I mean, think about that. It's amazing. So I thank you, Lord, for that part of her that has that dominion, that power of dominion over those, and show her how to, you know, to deal with things and, you know, at new levels, a new way she's never thought about before. You know, just the Spirit of God speaking to her and showing her, because he's giving you dominion over something, that means he's going to give you the answers for those things. So I thank you, Jesus, for that, and the groaning and the pain in her heart for losing her horses. They put them down. It's just the dogs, just sad, difficult thing. Part of life, like we had to put down our family members, how sad that is, how difficult that is. God showed her how to, you know, deal with death and deal with life at its highest level, especially in the animal kingdom, which is part of her calling. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. And as she prays over her property, you know, I know you've already done that already, but I see you praying over property with a new anointing or something, and realizing that part of the anointing you have for praying over your property is so for your animals to have, you know, a set apart ground and property for them to live on, because just like you live on it, they live on it too. And I know you've already done that already, I'm sure, but God's really going to show you how to take that dominion anointing that is to shepherd, you know, things and sheep and animals and horses and dogs and all that, and be able to bless the ground and bless the food and bless everything, God, for them, so they can live the ground. We know the Bible says that it groans in pain, waiting for the adoption revealing of the sons of God, of the daughters of God. Why? Because we have dominion God give Adam and Eve dominion over what? Everything. All the air, the birds, to the horses, to the, everything. And the trees, everything. So I thank you, Jesus, for showing her that, connecting her to that, Father, that she has an anointing for that, and you're going to activate that and reveal that to her, Father, in a very powerful way. In Jesus' name, meet all their needs. And then, 912-339, who am I talking to?
Call Prophet Randy, Angela, Joy, Georgia.
Hey, Andrew. All right, good day tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for the anointing, God, to discover, to find, make a way where there seems to be a way, God, to be able to make a way where there seems to be a way, to find that way, to seek it and find it, and you know, God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Sometimes we see that there just seems to be no way. There just seems to be no way. And we all do that. It happens to all of us. It's part of life. And so, God, I thank you for not only activating her brain to the fullest, whatever percent she uses now, that she will use to it 100% of whatever percent she's using, and start with that in a brand new way, God, like we're preaching tonight, talking about tonight in the teaching. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that, God, and to because when we're using our full brain with the Holy Spirit, we can, you know, the light just comes on about things. We don't know what to do. Anxiety, stress. Anxiety and stress is heavy. It's a burden. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when the light goes on, when the burden goes from being heavy to I can't figure out what's going on, all of a sudden it's like, not only is it light, it becomes light because the light turns on, and then it's not heavy anymore. Therefore, it's light. It's lighter. It's not as heavy. And I thank you, Lord, for that whole thing of showing her how to cast her cares upon the Lord, and a whole new anointing for prayer to help people cast their cares upon the Lord, to in Jesus' name, to activate that, Father, how to, really that's what healing is, healing ministry. People do, like Catherine Colon is one of my favorites. She knew how to get people to connect with God. She did the worship. She knew the keys. She knew the ways of God on how to get people, you know, out of themselves, feeling sorry for themselves, maybe whatever it is. They come into a meeting, they're sick, they're dying, their children are dying, they have a hard time, to get them out of that realm, into the realm of believing God, and being able to see things differently, how to look at things differently, and just get caught up into God just for a second. Man, if we can just get caught up into God for a second, a half a second, amazing. Just get caught up in God for that moment. Boom. The miracle can happen. The blessing can happen. I thank you, Jesus, for that whole place for her, Father, for her faith. You begin to show her, give her ways, and show her the ways of God and how to, not only for herself, but for others, how to create an atmosphere where when people come into your atmosphere, your place of dominion, they catch a glimpse of God just for a second, change their whole life in a few seconds. Boom, boom. That's what happened to Captain Cole and me. They just like, people come in the atmosphere and they get caught up in the atmosphere, and the atmosphere was of a God. And when they get a little bitty, move out of that place of human failure, weakness, disease, sickness, into the place of God, it's like, boom, and their body will respond by being healed. So I thank you, Jesus, for that, and showing Angel Joy her way of how to activate faith for herself as well as others, God, create an atmosphere in Jesus' name to where that can be her passion in life, God, is to, you know, get people connected to God by his word, by prayer, by that anointing of prayer, God, in Jesus' name, to pray the right prayer, to pray a prayer that will connect people to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Yeah, that's what Jesus did. He connected people to God, to the Father. Anyway, yeah, thank you, Lord, for doing that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless it, multiply it, increase it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Deliverance, salvation, in Jesus' name, by the word of the Lord. 864-313, who I thought through something.
Yeah, Walter, South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for that wild evangelist inside of him, God, for that that part of him that just wants to be like Elijah and Elisha and whoever else, you know, to just, you know, walk with God, do God's work, believe God for miracles or whatever needs to be done. God, that like you want to use my brother, God, to you know, whatever needs to be done, he can do it. He can believe for it. You know, God, in Jesus' name, that you strengthen him, that you bring him above and into that place of exceeding abundantly above all he could ever ask or think or even imagine, God, in the name of Jesus, the purity of love, the purity of faith, to the unadulterated, pure love of God pouring through him, God, in Jesus' name, causing his brain to activate, God, in areas where he can, you know, think clearer. And his brain and the Holy Spirit together can work out things. The light can come on. It's easier. It's not so, it takes days to work through a thing. He'll be able to just like, bing, bing, the light comes on. Bing, bing, the light comes on. Bing, bing, the light comes on. So days later, we're still dealing with it. Months later, we're still dealing with it. You know, that's what happens in our natural mind. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' name for that information, God. You're going to give him information. But information from heaven does what? Takes you to heavenly places. Information from God does what? Takes you to God places. Amen. Information from the devil takes you to devil places. Information from the world takes you to world places. But I thank you, Lord, for that information, that God information, Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, that will take him into the God place in the name of the Lord, where his faith is like Elisha and Elijah, believing you, God, for anything and everything in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Activate it, God. Bring it forth in Jesus' name. Let the ministry of the Holy Spirit become alive to him, Father. In Jesus' name, like in these last days, you know, I don't know exactly where we're at in the last days, but, you know, the book of Acts actually began the last days, but we're in the last of the last days. And I think if Jesus, there can be more miracles, more signs, and more wonders happen in this time. Because the pressure and death and disease and sickness and fear is going to be predominant. And those who know their God are going to do mighty works of God. And I thank you both for my brother and Jesus' name for walking that realm. Hallelujah. All right, 951-966. Can I talk to you, please?
Hi, Prophet. It's Regina.
Hi, Regina. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Regina tonight, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the activity of heaven. Lord, that you begin to help her understand and sense and know and feel in her spirit man. Our spirit man is seated with Christ in many places when we're born again, of course, as you know that. But our spirit man knows when angels are being released. Our spirit man knows when there's a lot of activity in heaven toward, you know, earth and that kind of thing. And so I thank you, Jesus, that she will be able to grasp and feel and sense in her spirit man that something's going on. That it will stir up her faith, God. It will stir up her ability to go like, okay, man, I don't know what's going on exactly, but I know God's doing something, so I'm going to come into agreement with that in the name of Jesus. Lord, so start showing me what's happening. Show me what you want me to do. Show me what we, and so God, you're going to align her with you because you're stirring, you're going to stir her up and show her, you know, just get ready, get your eyes on, you know, something good happening, something good is about to happen. You know, old Robert used to sing, you know, that song, some song about God is good and good all the time. And so I thank you, Jesus, that the goodness of God will begin to be stirred up within her, God, and she will sense in her spirit, man, what's going on in heaven, that heaven is releasing some things. God, like when Satan is cast down in the future, when Satan's cast down by Michael the Archangel, I mean, our spirit man is going to know that. We're going to know something's going on, something's happening. We're going to come into agreement with it, come into agreement in prayer with it, and believe God to know what our part of it is. Amen? Yeah, what our part of it is. So thank you, Jesus, for Regina, Father, finding her part, that her heart will begin to know her part. Everybody needs to know their part. And Joel, too, talks about the army of God. We're just lining up with each other, marching in oneness, because they all had their eyes on God. God was leading them. God was guiding them. Each individual person was looking for their mission from God, and God began to guide them. It's like he does with me. He leads me sometimes. I know what's going on. Sometimes I don't have a clue, and it just happens that look what happened. Oh, my God. It just, you know, like the buying the silver and gold thing. I talked about that a little bit lately. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. I've never done it before in my life. You know, I've been a big job for God. It feels like it's big anyway. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? What do I buy exactly? What do I do exactly? It's easy to talk about stuff until you're actually breaking it down to what do I need to get exactly? And then it throws you into this thing of, okay, God, I need precision. And then it just so happens that the time that we bought within, you know, many months, it was just the perfect time, exactly. Well, I didn't plan that, Regina. I didn't know what was going on. But we made several deals before that, and I kept saying, "Nah, I don't like that. I don't want King Charles in my coins. I want something. Oh, give me something else." You know, and I would cancel the order, and I canceled another one, and canceled another one. The guy started getting mad at me, like, "Are you ever going to make your mind up?" Well, little did he realize, or me, I was heading right toward, you know, waiting to the very day, October the 4th. When it was the lowest that it could be. I didn't know that. But God worked it out. Because you know what? Because I'm lining myself up with God to do his will no matter what. And sometimes I just step right into it without even knowing what I'm doing. We don't always have to know everything, right? You know that. So we just give our heart to God. We say, God, use me. Something's being stirred up. I don't know what it is. I feel like I'm coming short of the glory. And yet, because we're seeking him, Regina, we find ourselves right in the middle of what God wants. And didn't even have a clue. It's amazing. Thank God for that amazing place. Yeah, it's amazing. So I thank you, Lord, for that blessing on her, God, in Jesus' name. Open her up to that place where she lives there, abides there, and knows it. Yeah, just like me. I go through struggle. I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm going to fail God. I'm going to fail God. Oh, my God. I'm going to fail God. I'm not going to get this done. Regina, that's what was going on. I was freaking out. Not too bad. Nobody knew it, you know, because they couldn't tell it because I'm too used to this, but. But I was like, going, oh, my God. And then, you know, lo and behold, look back at it now. I look at the charts. Yeah, you can see. When you go to Kitco, K-I-T-C-O, it's an app you get. It shows about gold and silver, and you can click on the gold thing, and you can see, and the silver thing. You can see, you put on like a six-month thing, whatever. It shows you we bought that October the 4th right at the right time exactly. And I did not even have a clue that was going on. I did. And God just like guided me through the whole time. And I'm sitting there going like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm so ignorant. I'm like, well, help me, Jesus. And he was just leading me. He led me every time. I told that guy, I'm not going for that. I'm not going for those coins. He taught me into these coins, right? And I think about it. I said, oh, man, that sounds awesome. I'd say, he taught me into it. I go, that is, yeah, I think I like that. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, I'm making the order. Get ready. Ka-ching, 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 right? I think about it 2 or 3 hours later. Next morning, I call it, get to tell them within 24 hours if you change your mind. I call him. I changed my mind. So first time, it wasn't too bad. Second time, third time, however many times it was, I don't remember. He started getting really like, oh. It was God the whole time. Even if we didn't save that much by then, we did save some, but it was like, it's the testimony that we did it just on time without even knowing what we're doing. God all the way, man. That's the grace of God. That's the unmerited favor of God, Regina. So God bless you with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 All right. 919, did I just take that? Is that Regina? 919, who is that?
Cheryl, North Carolina.
Cheryl, yes. Okay. I have several nines tonight. So much. Switchboard. Okay, there. Thank you, Cheryl. All right, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord God, for that, for the double, for her trouble, God. I thank you for all the trouble she's been through. We go through trouble. We go through things. I go through things. I don't know why. I don't know if it's something I messed up or I did right or didn't do right. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I have to really check myself out. And one thing that, you know, Cheryl, that God's taught me to do is that, you know, it's possible that I mess up something. And that I need to adjust it, because if we don't adjust it, we don't get back on track, right? So, no, we did. I'm not into sinning. I'm not running around trying to, you know. Sometimes we don't obey just exactly like God said, and so we go back to God. Did I mess up something? Sometimes we did. Sometimes we didn't. Either way, it doesn't matter. We go back and we say God. So we thank the Lord for Cheryl, God, that she will not be afraid or ashamed. Okay, God, did I do it halfway right? Did it mostly right? Maybe a little bit right, or not right at all? Whatever. What is it? And so he said, oh, you did it half right, do this and add this to it. And, oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot.
and God adjusting your faith, adjusting your obedience, so that you can reap 100% of everything He wants you to do. He wants you to be able to reap 100-fold. God sends us blessings. We can have 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. What's our choice? According to our level of obedience and checking in and being able to be corrected and, you know, say, okay, you know, Lord, what did I do? What do I need to do better? He said, well, you really want to know? Yeah. Well, okay, you have to change this, change that. And they're like, okay, let's change it. And what happens? All of a sudden, the fruit from that, oh, my gosh, now things are easier. Now things happen. I didn't even know that was hindering me. You know, because we don't know sometimes. We don't know. We don't have all the answers for everything. God is gracious. God is wonderful. And sometimes we don't even know that our belief system sometimes is hindering us, opening up doors for fear. We don't even know that. We just think, oh, I've been believing this all my life. I'm going to keep believing it. And that one day the Lord wakes me up and he goes, I want to talk to you. Uh-oh, there's that talk to you voice. Okay. He said, I want to talk to you about things. And he straightened me out, man. Straightened me out in a very gracious, loving way. And when I got those things lined up with him, you know, I didn't even realize how much it hindered my life. It hindered me from getting the full blessing. I want the 100-fold. Cheryl, right? Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. The 100-fold blessing of God. God goes, you want the 100-fold, Randy? You got to pay the price and do exactly everything I say, regardless of what anybody else says about it. You have to learn to obey me no matter what. I went, hey, I hope I can do that. So because I was willing to do it, you know, I'm learning and growing, and it's happening. And so, therefore, the blessings come easier, and so all that. Anyway. So I think it was my sister, God, that you will show her how to things that she needs to correct to move from the 30-fold blessing to 60 or even 100, to refine, so that you refine her and her obedience to you, God, so she can walk in 100% of all the blessings and not miss one thing. God gave us, we have exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think or even imagine. So that's what we have waiting for. And yet we come short of it because, you know, we don't want to change something. You know, may not seem that bad. It's not really a bad thing or evil thing we need to change. Just something the way we believe about, the way we talk about him, or whatever it is. He said, just stop doing this and start doing this. And you're like, okay. And all of a sudden, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. You know, and that ka-ching, I mean, it's not just money, but it's everything. Things start lining up. Yeah. All right, 863-808, you want to talk to me from, please?
Hey, Randy. Oh, no, no. I'm asleep. Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl from Florida.
Cheryl. Good day. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl from Florida. God, I think of that whole thing about payroll, that whole payroll thing. I got into that earlier tonight. The Lord showed me that. It's like the payroll system of God is, you know, about our sins being paid for, about our debts being paid for, everything, the payment on everything. Sometimes we have emotional trauma and different things going that we go through because we haven't really quite connected to the fullness. We have a lot of information on it, but the fullness of God's payment system, what he's paid for. Oh my God. When I started seeing that, you know, that I had to be doing what God wanted me to do, if he's going to be paying me isn't just money, you know, to pay our bills, thank God for that, but it's paying me joy. Paying me favor, paying me, you know, making things become easier and easier. When you get in the will of God and he pays you for it, payment sometimes that he pays you when you're in his payment system, it means that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah, we still got a burden. We still got a yoke, but it's easy. It's light. It's not so overwhelming all the time. You know, I mean, I just went through that with it. Like I said earlier, buying the gold and silver thing, it was heavy. It was like, you know, like, oh, God, wow, what's going on? And yet, you know, if I'd have known, I was right on the right path, even though God kept telling me, you're right on time, Randy. You know, I do silly things like throw a piece of trash in the trash can, knowing I'm not going to hit it, because I never do. And it just hit the wall, hit the side of the cabinet, and bounced in. I'm going like, huh? Things like that started happening. The Lord says, chill out, man. You're right on time. Everything's fine. And sure enough, I was. But I was sure just having a hard time with it. You know, and so being on his payroll is that he does things like that. You know, has you, like I threw that, it's just one of many things I do. I threw a piece of trash and
you know, it's happened several times. Like, you know, I never hit the trash can. I always had to go pick it up later. You know, you get bing, bing, get two or three things and bounce right in. Like, so I knew that was God. Like, woo-ah. And Paul says, yeah, you're on my payment system, right? Everything's good. You're on payroll. Being on payroll means you're on time. It may not look like it, may not feel like it, may not seem like it, but you're right on time. You're fine. So we have to ask God. You know, I'm always asking God, am I on time? What's going on? Is this delay you? What's up? Sometimes delays, like that delay I was having with that, was he wanted me to buy that gold and silver on that very day, October the 4th. I didn't know that. I didn't have a clue what was going on. All I knew was I was feeling messed up, and you know, and he kept showing me, you know, you're on the payroll. You're lined up. You're fine. You're right on time. Everything's good. I'm going like, yeah, but I can't even make up my mind what we're going to get. And he was involved in all that, delaying the process until October the 4th, which is the exact perfect. I mean, it's like, oh, my God. It's amazing. So being on God's payroll is, you know, even though we feel like we're messing it up, he kept telling me, no, you're on time. It happened several times. You're on time. You're right on time. I am. And I mean, I'm like freaking out over here. Like the pressure is like unbelievable. And yet I think part of the pressure was important, but because God was pressing me into something. Sometimes the pressure, wonder, Cheryl, is because God's pressing us into something that we wouldn't be able to get into had we not had that pressure. Right? So pressure sometimes can be us messing up, you know, having difficulties. And sometimes pressure is God. But the Bible says through much tribulation or through much pressure, we are pressed into a new place. So that pressure is, it's like having a baby. I've never had a baby. I know you've had what, too, I think. And so it's like, you know, we've had that baby. It's like, you know, that pressing point where, you know, finally when it's all over with and you get out of there, like, wow, man, that was something else. And so because we go through that pressure, the pressure is doing what? The opening up and the pain is opening up so that baby can come out of there. So same thing in the spirit realm. So I thank you, Lord, for showing her, helping her understand the pressure process, the pain process, the things we go through that are unnecessary. Like when you're having a baby, I know there's a lot of things that are unnecessary that people do but it's still painful and there's still that pressure and it's still there. But I thank you, Lord, for showing her all that process of how to know that you're right on time. It's working out good. You know, the timing is good. Just relax. If I want you to know something, I'll tell you. If you're out of get out of line about something, I'll let you know about it. But sometimes it's a waiting game. Sometimes it's being patient. And working our faith and believing God, but you know, and trying to, because I was working it. I wasn't sitting around doing nothing. I was working it like a big dog, man. I'm calling people that I know that know about coins and doing that and silver and gold. And I knew nothing about it whatsoever. So I'm working it, right? I'm not just sitting there to them where, hey, man, you know anything about it? You know anything about it? Trying to find somebody that I knew that I could trust. And I did. You know, I found somebody. So I'm talking to them, going like, oh, my God. You know, so even then, it was still, you know, the pressure was, like, amazing because I couldn't tell this person, you know, what I was doing, who I was doing it for. I mean, I just couldn't do that. But so long story short is that all the struggle, all the thing, I was working it, I wasn't trying to do nothing. But then the delay was for that certain date, that certain time, that certain the very day it happened. It's like, and the day before we made the deal, that guy was so frustrated with me. When I call him up, you know, I call him up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Hey, man, me again. He goes, yeah, I know. So I'm ready to make a deal today. And he was so frustrated with me. He said, I don't want to make a deal today. He didn't really say those words. He said, I'm leaving the office early today. I'm going to get out of here. But I'm ready to make it. He said, I said, talk to you tomorrow, Randy. And I got the phone. I'm going like, what was that? It's just getting... Now he's mad at me. He's not going to, you know, and I was dependent on him to make that deal. That's a big deal. And so little did I know, that was God too. That was God too, because the next day is when he went, did that thing. But anyway, it was amazing. So God, I thank you, Lord, for showing Cheryl, helping her know that pain isn't because we're messing up or coming short or whatever. Sometimes we're being pressed into something new. In Jesus' name, give her the courage and strength and understanding to know that and walk in it in the new level. I don't think we can always know. I mean, I don't think when we're going through all that stuff, Cheryl, I'm not sure that we can know. You know, God keeps telling me it's okay. and I kind of get a little bit of a hope, you know, like, okay, I mean, I'm actually okay. How can I be okay? And the next day, like, how can I be okay when this and when that? How can it all be okay when I'm, the timing and the thing is coming up on me, and it, oh, my God, what if it doesn't happen tomorrow? What if the whole thing falls apart and I have to start all over again with somebody else? And it was just, you know, on and on, and got to, you're fine. Because when you're doing something you've never done before, ever, and you have to depend on, you know, God, and if you bring somebody to help you to go through it, if that happens, and then they can only be used to a certain degree, and then you have to, you know, the guy gets mad at you, gets tired of me canceling orders, and like he thinks I'm an idiot, like, and little did I know, man, the whole time, like I said, God was moving. He knew when I walked away from it, and I looked at it, I went, oh, my God. Look at that, God. You were doing it the whole time. But I couldn't see it. I mean, I could say I'm so spiritual I could see the whole thing. I couldn't see nothing. I'm like, I'm really frustrated. And dear God. And I just kept going on. I kept moving forward. I didn't give up. That thing in me said, like a bulldog, I'm going to keep going until I get this thing in the name of Jesus. Somehow, I don't know, it's going to happen. And it did. Just boom, just like that, and it was done. Wow. And then, all right, everybody, nobody has a hand up, so get your hand up there if you want prayer tonight. I'd love to pray for you. It's almost 12 o'clock, getting close to 12 o'clock, it's only 11:43, actually. So if you want prayer and ministry, and believe God with you for whatever you need. All right. I'll be right back. All right, everyone, that is it for tonight. Nobody else raising their hand? And I just got news that our app is back on the Apple Store. Isn't it amazing? I just found it out just now. And I went and looked for it. It's in the App Store. So if you want our app, put it going in, put Randy Chandler in there, and it will be done. All right, just found that out. That's good news. Things are happening. We're back with the app. All right, everybody, going to call it right tonight. Thank you very much. We love you. Talk to you tomorrow.